Emerson radio program. Here's what just happened about 5 seconds ago. Now, Sarah had not touched her mic. We have big microphones here. The microphones we use here are massive. These are not like normal Radio Shack microphones. Oh, please tell me the engineer's gone.
He's gone?
Gone.
Oh, no, it's okay, Tim. I can do it.
You know, well,
Sarah, the part fell out. I think it could screw back in, but I need to find it.
Let's explain what happened here. We use really, really large... However, really large microphones. Microphones that are actually so big and heavy that they require these huge boom arm cable spring-loaded contraptions to support them. And there's about 500 different screws and bolts and nuts and lug things to go into the... Anyway, the point is we've got these big-ass radio microphones that require a great deal of support because they're very heavy. And so, just as the opening theme music was rolling, Sarah sort of grabbed her microphone and sort of moved it in front of her to sort of position it to speak into, and the whole contraption just fell apart.
Now, this thing is really heavy.
Some key linchpin, some universal nut that holds the whole thing together just came out. The entire thing just fell apart into her hands. Oh, that's fantastic.
Something's on Tim's microphone after this weekend, too.
Excellent. Really? That's hard to believe.
There's something wrong with this one?
Is there something wrong with your microphone,
Tim? It might be fixed by now. Jeff was in here earlier working on it.
Hello.
It was hard to believe that something would happen in the studio over the weekend that would impact the studio in a negative fashion. Hey, you know, in my head, you know, maybe it's my microphone or maybe it's my headphones, but I seem to be primarily in the left channel and none of the right. Does it sound that you, when I speak, does it sound like I am more prominent in your left channel than I am in your right channel?
Well, now I don't know if you put it into my head because that's what I'm hearing now, but...
Tim? Tim's deaf. Never mind.
Go ahead and speak.
Doesn't even wear both sides of his headphones.
I didn't think both sides of your headphones worked, Tim.
When I speak...
I fixed them to you now.
When I'm speaking to you now, does it sound more... Does it sound... Not that it matters. It's a monophonic signal anyway.
No, both sides are equal.
Sarah, does it sound like my voice is more prominently in the left... In the left channel than it is at the right channel.
I don't know.
You can't even tell now, can you?
I really can't.
This is the best start to a weekend ever.
For 2 weeks.
Can't even talk. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio. Would you want to start over?
We could.
Let's start over again. Let's try not to have the microphone disintegrated. And I'll try to get my words in the proper order as well.
Okay.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start this whole business over again. Let's pretend this never happened.
Talking about the stuff you really talk about. This is an ACMD. Portland, AM 970 Radio. Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
It's 5 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April of the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, this is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We thank you for coming by. We appreciate your presence and your patronage on this Monday. It is 503-733-2970. Now, the problem with my headphones seems to have vanished. Maybe it was all in my head. Well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to join us today, if you'd like to email us, you can do that as well. You can communicate with us in a binary fashion. It is rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com. With your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your corrections, your 2 cents, your what have you. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com, or you can call us at 503-733-2970. It's honestly just that simple. Yes. Thank you. I honestly don't know what happened to that microphone you were talking into. Well, I'm fine. Everything over here is relatively normal.
I think someone just loosened it a little too much over the weekend.
Great is the way that the microphone didn't even gradually self-destruct. It's like you touched it and the whole thing just immediately fell into pieces. It was like the Bluesmobile, right, as if they pull up at the Honorable Richard J. Daley Memorial Plaza. When they get outside and the car holds itself together for about 3 pregnant seconds and then falls apart. That was Sarah's microphone just now.
I created it for a microphone.
It's 503-733-2970. You can email. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. It is Monday. And welcome to day 12. And my voice is largely back to normal. Although if you hear that Northside Ford spot that's floating around on the station, you can tell that I've recorded it on Friday. Because I had to start running today. But I think it might have actually started running this weekend. So I had to go into a production room and I had to cut that spot for Northside Ford. And I told the guy, Joe, the production room, I'm like, I have no voice. I'm not going to be able to speak. I'm not going to be able to. No one's going to. I'm going to sound terrible. And he said, doesn't matter. It's got to start tomorrow. Read this copy. So I've been like 15 attempts to get through without my voice cracking. And you listen to it now and it's like I just sound like some adenoidal freak who's had had my vocal cords sanded down. Why are people calling? We haven't even done anything. We haven't even gone through the opening yet without something going wrong. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. It's Monday. This is Jerry. Hello, sir. Hi, Jerry. How can I help you today?
Hello, Mr. Emerson. How are you doing?
I
think you are confused saying that a universal nut fell off of Sarah's microphone.
Yes, sir.
Universal nut is you, sir, holding the whole show together. I mean, without your witty repartee and, the way people just kind of bounce thoughts off you and things like that, it would be everybody else sitting in a room kind of looking at each other going, what do we do now?
In case you all missed that, my remark about the universal nut prompted Jerry to observe that I, Rick Emerson, am the universal nut.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, sir.
I tell you something, Rick. You enrage me sometimes, but you always give me stuff to think about.
Well, I appreciate that, sir.
Which is a good thing because I drive a big vehicle or I'd be falling asleep.
All right. Well, try not to kill people.
I will do that.
Thank you. All right. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, AM 970, Chief Engineer Jeff McGinley. How was your weekend of drinking, sir?
Oh, weekend of drinking?
Yes.
I spent it here.
Drinking?
No, I wish I was drinking.
So, you missed this great thing that happened. The theme music, the Dream Theater started to play.
Yes.
Sarah literally grabbed the microphone just to position it in front of her. She moved it about half an inch, and I swear to God, the entire thing just disintegrated and fell into a heap of parts on the counter.
What happened here this weekend?
I don't know.
And we had a lot of issues.
Something happened with Tim's mic,
too,
right?
Well, see, and I wasn't going to talk about this. I wasn't going to talk about this because I don't wish to provoke you and make you any more irritated than you already are.
I'm a little upset.
Well, we might as well discuss it now.
Go ahead.
We'll do introductions all around. We'll find out what Tim has got prepping in the news. The Hopper here in just a few. We'll talk about Grindhouse a little bit, which I saw over the weekend as part of my geekly duties.
No time.
Get out of your bed. We'll talk about that. What else? We'll talk about what's coming up later on today, and we'll reveal what exciting present is sitting up in my office that was given to us by a member of the Rick Emerson audience. So all that coming up, we'll do all of that here in a second. So real quickly, before we do anything else, I just have to say that I came in here Saturday for reasons that escape me now. I can't remember why I was here. Oh, it was to reset my phone, and we'll talk about that in a second, speaking of technical malfunctions and things that exist solely to annoy me. So I have my Motorola Q, which I love. But at some point over the last 6 months of having that Q, I think I inadvertently accessed like some spyware or some malware or just the virus. It's been acting really weird. It's been getting really slow and sluggish, and it hadn't really been working. And the memory's been running out and everything. So finally this weekend, I decided just to do this master reset to completely wipe it clean and reinstall everything. So it's going to completely wipe the hard drive, the drive on my handheld, on my Motorola Q clean and start again. We'll talk about that in a second because that came with its own ball of inanities. But so I was here Saturday because I have to do it here because it's got to sync up with my CBS computer. So I'm here Saturday. I walk into the studio as I always do because I'm an anal retentive nitwit. I walk in here to start throwing, to come through and throw everything away. And You all can't see the layout here, but basically we've got a big, it's sort of like a kitchen island. Like if you go to a house in the Bethany area, there's a big kitchen island in the middle where there's like the stove, and then there's like, you know, the serving area, and then there's the breakfast nook and the what have you. So we basically got a big kitchen island, but instead of a stove, we've got Sarah's control board where she controls the levels of everything. And then scattered around in a sort of semicircle are all of the microphones. And then directly above us are two sets of track lights. And, you know, track lights are basically just like it sounds, where there is a track, and then there are three lights that plug in there so that you can slide the lights back and forth. So I come in here on Saturday, and these lights throw off a lot of heat, by the way. And I'm not saying that as a complaint. I mean, we've got a cooling system, and it all seems to work out. But these lights are not, you know, you put your hand up to it, you burn yourself. I mean, they're not cool fluorescent lights. These are very, very hot incandescent lights, especially when they're on full blast, which they usually are. So I come in here this weekend, and for reasons unknown to me, someone, and when I say someone, I really don't know who did this. I mean, there is, as they say in Casablanca, there really is just the group of usual suspects who, when not busy smearing grease all over computer keyboards.
I don't see any grease this weekend.
Well, it's because they were busy doing something else. Someone had taken about 15 feet of thick Ethernet cable, you know, like that computer cable that they plug into the back of your computer that if you have like DSL or something. Someone had taken about 15 feet of that plastic-coated computer cable. They had wrapped one end of it around Tim's microphone for no readily apparent reason, and then had... It's always Tim's stuff that gets screwed with.
Yeah, and Tim's
always,
face right there is classic.
It's always Tim's. It's always Tim's keyboard that's covered with grease. It's always Tim's chair that is broken. It's always Tim's monitor that has kiddie porn displayed on it on a Monday morning.
These problems go back to like 1998 upon my arrival in Portland.
Yeah, no, it's true. Anyway, so someone had wrapped all of this computer cable around Tim's microphone. The other end, it had then been stretched across the room, and the other end had been wrapped around one of these incredibly hot lights that beams down under the control board. I mean, it didn't make any sense at all.
It went around the track and then around the light.
It was like they were trying to lash a sofa to the top of a Jetta or something. And they didn't really know what they were doing, and so they just took an entire ball of twine, or in this case, computer cable, and just wrapped it all over hell and breakfast, as my mom would say. So I called Jeff, who was out drinking, and I said, hey, you know, why is there computer cable wrapped all around these incredibly hot lights on the ceiling and then down onto Tim's microphone for no reason? And Jeff's response was just this long string of profanities and threats to whoever did it. So you came in and saw it this weekend.
Yeah.
And so is my description of this correct?
Oh, yeah.
Someone had decided, and I don't even know where they got that computer cable.
It was hidden.
It was hidden somewhere.
It was hidden, yeah.
So for reasons unknown, somebody over the weekend dug up all of this computer cable that was hidden somewhere in the studio, that was just stashed somewhere, wrapped it all around a microphone, wrapped it all around one of the light bars, and then wrapped it all around one of these lights, which, as Jeff described to me later, Jeff said, you know, if that had been any closer to the light, it would have burned the entire building to the ground.
Yeah, that's the greatest part.
We can laugh about it now.
Mm. Yeah, I'm glad you're laughing. Jeff McGinley's on a witch hunt today.
We can laugh about it because it didn't burn. Because you know that you say, well, that's incredibly flammable. If that had touched the light, we all would have died.
Yeah, it's not plenum wire.
Would have burned the entire studio down. So,
tanks pulled up.
That's Tim's computer. Sarah, Tim's computer.
That's awesome.
All right, there was some sound emanating from somewhere there. All right.
It was Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller. Oh, it's the satellite. Okay, anyway. So... All right, anyway, so...
I can do nothing right. Jeff just told me not to change it.
Anyway, so long story short, so Jeff came in this weekend. So somebody this weekend decided to decorate the studio with a bunch of highly flammable computer cable wrapped all over these hot lights.
Yes.
Do you have suspects, Jeff McGinley?
Yeah, I do.
Fantastic.
I've got a couple of them. I'm waiting for one of them to get back in the building.
Really? Yeah. I can't possibly imagine
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's kind of loud. Huh. You know, tall guy, loud.
Well, what kind of people are you employing here, Rick?
I don't. Look at me, dude.
It's not that he wasn't warned.
Yeah. Well, are there going to be repercussions? Is there going to be an interrogation and a beating?
Yes.
We'll see something different hanging from that green cord besides the microphone.
Fantastic.
Just the very thought of my work area.
And it's always Tim's work area. Yeah. It's
I
always,
didn't see it, mind you.
All right. It's all I saw. You took pictures.
I took pictures.
Jeff took pictures of it as evidence. Should there be any disputing later on about what transpired in the studio over the weekend?
Exactly.
All right. All right. So, all right. And
that and Sarah's microphone, and, you know, next thing you know, it's going to be a can of gas. You know, like a moist towel.
We're just
going to
start storing big jars of kerosene and punji sticks around here.
There
all right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Jeff McGinley.
Well, I'm not going to be upset since Jeff is upset enough for the both of us.
Oh, no, no, no. And Jeff's upset at somebody. It's nobody in this room. So there you go. His anger is flowing in an entirely different direction.
Go kick some ass.
Fantastic. You have no idea. I came in Saturday. I mean, I know I just told the story.
That's
so
why I never come in here a week
again. You just say, I mean, there's, imagine like if you went into your home, which is sort of what this is. Imagine if you went into your home, and while you were gone, somebody had just taken a bunch of flammable computer cable and wrapped it around something really hot in your kitchen.
Right.
And then wrapped the other end around, you know, I don't know, like one of your breakfast chairs.
And this is home because we spend more time probably in this room than any room that we live in.
That is true. That is absolutely true. That's sad. It explains so very much about us.
Yes.
That is true. I spend... God damn, no wonder my wife hates me so much.
You spend more time talking to us than you do your wife, more than likely.
Thanks, Tim. It's true.
And if you add up all the years and all the hours.
I really have. I have undoubtedly spent... Oh, God, this is going to be the next... This will be, you know, when this is what will show up. This is what will show up in the divorce papers, too. Has spent more time over the last 8 years speaking to people over a microphone than has spent speaking to wife. You won't be that. You know, usually when they say irreconcilable differences and it's all vague and there's no explanation, that'll be the explanation. It'll be boiled down to barest simplicity. Well, all right. It's 503-733-2970. So Jeff McGinley is going to go beat somebody savagely today. Because there's really a short list of people that they could have come in here and done that this weekend. And if it sounds like I'm making a small thing out of a big thing out of a small thing, I'm really not. You really should have seen it. It was just ridiculous. All right. And especially when I talked to Jeff, who was out at a bar, and again, he said, is it touching one of the lights? And I said, no, but just barely. He said, okay, because that would have run the whole building down. Good times. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. We will have speech with our good friend Lisa Goddard. It's been a few days, and she does not know about the party video we filmed for her. At the listener party, we filmed a greeting for her that she has not received
yet. Oh, have you seen it?
I have. We'll talk more about that here in a few. She hasn't seen it, so I don't want to tip her off to its existence yet. I'm just going to surprise her with that. We will talk to Jim Roop, see if he is fully recovered, if he made it back to Los Angeles in one piece after his experience here on Thursday and Friday. We will continue our hunt for the worst news story of all time. Let's see. We'll have the worst Portland promotion of all time. We'll explain exactly why radio continues to suck so very badly. Peter Carlin will join us, a little bit of a Sopranos recap, and we have the top five today, Like Us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. And how are you today?
I'm doing well. I had a fun weekend.
Yes. Were you bicycled, what, 25 miles yesterday?
Yeah, I spent all day, literally with my friend Kyle, we rode 6 hours, just all around town.
To where?
Just around, we rode all around Southeast and went downtown, went up to Northwest 23rd, went to Rocco's, had some pizza, went down to Saturday Market that went across the Broadway Bridge over to Alberta.
You're a much better person than I am.
Yeah. Well, I had pizza. We kept stopping and eating, so I don't really think I benefited
much
from it.
I just did the stopping and eating without actually, I didn't bike to the fridge and back to the couch. So really, that was, I just sat around and gained weight this weekend. I sat around and I gained weight and I came in here and screamed angrily to Jeff over the phone about the situation in the studio. That was it. That was the bulk of my weekend. That's about all I did. So, and you don't really burn off a lot of calories yelling at somebody over the phone. God knows I've tried.
Oh, and I went to a Portland Timbers game this weekend, too.
And Portland Timbers is what?
Soccer. Football. It's the Portland Timbers.
Just male or female?
Is that the one that Beckham fellow plays for?
No.
Just man or woman soccer?
It's man soccer.
Man
but it just
soccer.
Started, they had their opening game on Saturday. And it
you
was
were at home
really
playing
fun.
A hearty game of man soccer.
You should totally go, though, Rick. It was, it was pretty cool.
Not going to happen.
Okay.
Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, we're going to find out. Who's tying this around my microphone?
Oh, you'll have to see the photos. I'm gonna have him. I'll have him email me the photos so I can post them. It just made no sense at all. It was like someone was really bored. It was like some sort of autistic 5-year-old who just had lots of free time and decided just to decorate by just finding stuff like hidden in a closet and just stringing it all over the studio like confetti. It made no sense at all. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, anyway,
Katie Couric may leave CBS.
No. Yes. She'll have to go drinking elsewhere. She'll just collapse in a boozy heap at home now.
You may have thought he was already gone, but Boris Yeltsin officially died today. Once again, Hillary Clinton breaks into a southern accent, but this time in New York City. Poisonous chemicals in pet food may have found their way into the human food chain, and some of that contaminated product may be found in an Oregon warehouse.
All right, there you go. So it's, there you go. That's our attempt to be relatable. Hey, speaking of relatable, so we'll talk about this. The single worst idea. The worst idea for promoting Portland ever. I mean, Portland's a city that has a lot of things about it. There's a lot, like when Carol from Tucson was here last Thursday and Friday, and we were talking about all the great things you could do in Portland, all the great places you could go, the things you could see, activities one could partake in. You would think that people in Portland, and when I say people, I mean you sort of commissioners or the people, the city fathers, the people who run this city, you'd think that they'd be able to find a better way to sort of market our image for the rest of the world instead of this direct that they've come up with. So we'll talk about that.
How about the world's smallest park? That'll bring the source.
Basically just a weed. I'm not so much with the world's smallest park. I'm a big fan of that little tiny plastic horse that they've got tethered downtown, though. I like that. That makes me smile. Well, in any event, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970.
So what did you do this weekend?
I did nothing. I came. Here's what I did. Literally, this is what I did. First of all, let me just talk about some sleeping that I did. We did the listener party on Thursday. And then, of course, Friday, I was dead tired, but I was that sort of zombified tired where I just got through the day without too much difficulty. I mean, it was just, we were sort of just sleepwalking through the day. Everything, you know, I was so tired that I didn't even feel it. It's like when a wheel is going so fast, it looks like it's standing still. That was my thing on Friday. It's like I was just so out of it, I didn't even care. But I went home Friday, and I went to bed at around 10:30 at night. I know it was before 11 because Lara was working until 11 o'clock. So I was in bed when she got home. So I was in bed before 11 o'clock Friday, and I woke up at 10:30 in the morning on Saturday. I slept for like 12 hours, and then I slept for another 3 hours in the afternoon, and then I slept for 12 hours again Saturday night into Sunday morning. I slept from like 9 till 9. I went to bed at 9 o'clock Saturday night, and then I woke up at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. I slept for more than 24 hours out of the 48-hour weekend. Out of the 48 hours of this weekend, I slept for almost 28 of those hours.
That is so sad. Well, I mean, fantastic. Saturday I can understand because it was depressing great. And rainy and beautiful. Yesterday, you should have totally taken advantage of the day.
F that.
Have you even seen your bicycle in like the past month?
No. You know why? Because I was in bed. That's what I was doing. Has nothing to do with the weather. The weather was nice, although it was bad, doesn't matter. I spent the entire weekend catching up on my rest because I didn't get any edit. I was beat all to hell. The only thing I really did, I did two things. I went to the movies yesterday. I went to see Grindhouse, finally, because I felt it was my geek duty because the movie's failing so bad. And as the movie's just getting the snot kicked out of it, and Harvey Weinstein is already sharpening up his scissors just to hack into little tiny Tarantino bits. So I felt like it was my obligation to go see Grindhouse over the weekend. And boy, was that a mistake. I know that everybody wants to believe that Grindhouse is just this unappreciated gem. And I wanted to believe it, too, because it's failing so badly. And it's Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino. And I know all the geeks. And I'm a big geek. You know that. You know, I have mad love for the geek community. And I also wanted to believe that it was something that Americans just weren't smart enough to appreciate. But boy, is that just not a very good film. I mean, that's, and I hate to say that. I don't like to say that any more than you like to hear it. I mean, it was just...
Yeah, I was going to see it this weekend, but it just sounded long.
Well, see, that's the complaint that I don't care about, because Titanic is long. Who cares? I mean, it's like, I'm for value for my money. You know what, Ron? Here's what it is. You know what it is? Roger Ebert said it the best. He said, a good movie is never too long, but a bad movie is never short enough. You know, which means, like, if it's a bad movie, it's going to be long regardless. If it's a good movie, you'll tolerate it. Like, Zodiac, almost 3 hours, didn't care. Grindhouse, boy, it's a long, long, long 3.5 hours. I mean, and you just sit, and I so desperately wanted to like it, especially because it's doing so badly. And, you know, and you wanted to be like, well, the Americans are just dumb. They don't know, which is true. But you wanted to go in there and appreciate it and realize that, you know, that you're a little bit smarter than everybody else. And really, the American people kind of called this one correctly. Grindhouse is just kind of uninteresting. That's the thing. It's not, I mean, it's a good concept. The production values where, the films are artificially scratched up to make it look old. I mean, that's kind of cool. Mm. The fake trailers. Because it starts, and then halfway through, there's fake trailers for non-existent movies. And those are really, really great.
The Robert Rodriguez one, Planet Terror, certainly moves. It's edited well. It's got some action to it. It has its moments. Rose McGowan with a machine gun leg is pretty great. And I will say this about the Tarantino one. The Tarantino film, Death Proof, has one of, and everybody says this, one of the greatest car chases ever put on film, done entirely without special effects, without CGI. It has one of the greatest car chases in the history. Even Lara, who's a girl, loved it. As a, you know, even she doesn't appreciate car chases. She loved it. It has one of the greatest car chases ever.
But how did they do it without CGI?
Meaning...
I mean, it wasn't all... What? Well, because I know it's all crazy and explosions and...
No, I mean, it's just a car chase. It's but it's nothing
like a big car crash.
No, it's just done with stunt people on real cars being tracked by a helicopter, all in more or less one long series of shots. I mean, there's no computer-generated images.
Cool.
No... I mean, this car chase is one of the best things Tarantino's ever done, period. But the problem is that's like 4 minutes out of a 90-minute film, and the rest of the time you're just sitting there having to listen to Quentin. It's like a film student was told to make a really bad... It's like you sat down some first-year film student and gave him $20 million and said, I want you to do your best impression of a Quentin Tarantino film. That's what it was like. It was like watching a really bad carbon copy of a Quentin Tarantino script. And I know that all these things I'm saying are sacrilege to the geek community because they all loved it, but I suspect that a lot of that comes from the fact that it is Rodriguez and Tarantino and the fact that it's doing poorly, and so everybody wants to support it by saying how great it is. And I was just kind of bored with the whole thing, which is, you know, so what are you going to do? So, I mean, definitely see it on DVD. It's kind of an interesting experience because it's packaged as a pseudo double feature and all that, but boy, goddamn would I never pay to see that again.
Ugh.
I mean... Maybe
no, I trust your judgment, too.
It wasn't flat-out terrible, and again, let me be very clear about this. I give them points for trying something ambitious. I like the fact that some guys with clout used it to do something different, and they didn't use it just to reset and to make Scary Movie 5 or whatever. I like it that they used their clout to try something a little ambitious, that they tried something a little adventurous. It just didn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nice experiment, didn't really succeed. That's my whole thing on that. What else? Oh, and then, so that was my two things. So I saw Grindhouse this weekend, and then, boy, there were some great trailers for that, though. I mean, in front of it, and I mean real trailers. I didn't expect much from that Rob Zombie remake of Halloween, but boy, the trailer for that looked badass.
Man, I was such a fan of House of a Thousand Corpses, and I had no idea that he could actually make a decent movie.
See, I didn't like House of a Thousand Corpses. Devil's Rejects is much better in my
opinion. I need to see that one. I haven't seen it yet.
It's better. If you like House of a Thousand Corpses, you'll love it. And the Halloween remake, I was really fearful about, but boy, the trailer looks fantastic. I'm a massive fan of the first Halloween. The first Halloween is one of the best horror films ever made. The trailer for the Halloween remake, Rob Zombie's doing, it looks so cool. It just looks amazing. So, I mean, maybe it's going to suck, but the trailer makes it look fantastic. The Rob Zombie trailer in Grindhouse is the best one, though. Let's see. She Werewolves of the SS or something. It's like Nazi werewolf women without, you know, who are topless. It's completely hot and warped. So that's the best thing there. So I saw Grindhouse, and then I came in Saturday, and I took my Motorola Q, which has been sort of acting up because it had been going real sluggish, and the memory had been going bad on it, and it had just been locking up a lot. And it's not a reflection on the device because I'm very happy with the device. It was that I, you know, you can use it to surf the net, and I think at some point I inadvertently got a virus or something. I downloaded some file I couldn't get rid of, and it was making the whole thing kind of act all wacky. So I went through and I deleted everything, did a master reset, cleaned wiped the entire hard drive, and then reinstalled everything. And then, of course, there's this awkwardness because I had to back up all my contact information. And so I'm going through, and I was going through, and this is tedious, going through and in Word, writing out by hand, basically, in Microsoft Word, typing out by hand, all of my contacts and their phone numbers, just in case the computer backup didn't work, mm-hmm. because I didn't want to be screwed, restart my whole queue, and then reboot it, and then realize I've lost all my contact info. Have you ever had that happen, where you lose your entire phone book and your cell phone?
Unfortunately, I haven't.
It's the worst. So I went through and I wrote everything out of Microsoft Word, and so that's really awkward, because it forces you to make some hard decisions. Because there's people that you used to work with who quit or been let go. And you have to ask yourself, do I value this person and their contact info enough? Reed, will I ever need them for anything? Because if not, it'll save me 10 seconds. Because over the course of about 500 names, if you only have to write down, you know, 200 of them, I mean, you'd save yourself 20 minutes. So I had to go through, and certain people we've worked with at CBS that have been let go, I kept because they might be able to give me a job someday. Certain people with,
such a jerk.
Certain people with whom we've worked at CBS will never be able to help me with anything, so I just deleted their names and didn't bother to back them up. So I deleted everything, which means I lost my ringtones, though. I had to reinstall all my ringtones. Do you want to hear my ringtone now? And then we'll take a break. You should call me. Do you have your,
okay.
Can you call me?
Yeah, I'll call you.
All right. I had to restart. I had to wipe everything, so I lost my future Rama ring.
This is my ring or just the ring in general?
No, this is my ring in general. You might want to drop the mono bed. This is my new cell phone ring. This is just a temp ring until I,
You're
fantastic. No, it's great. It's great. And, of course, the weirdest part is that Lara doesn't know that song because she's never really listened to the show a lot at this point. And so she just wonders why I have... She, like, that makes no sense to her at all. She has no idea why
I have that on my
that.
MySpace page for a few hours, and I'm like, you know, anyone who doesn't know me is going to think I'm a freak.
Totally. I'm like, listen to this bitchin' ringtone, you know, and it's, teach me how to die. And she just kind of went... Uh-huh. And then she walked away, and I could tell she didn't understand. Is this Daniel?
Oh, man, Rick, we've got a break.
Janelle, really?
Yeah.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, this is Janelle.
Hi, Janelle. How can I help you?
I am calling because I heard you guys talking about the Ethernet all over your studio.
The cable
there.
That was strung all over the studio, which could have burned down the whole building, apparently.
What a terrible thing. I was listening to the car show in your studio over the weekend where they were talking about how they rigged it up because Buddy couldn't get the microphone tilted to his specific angle. So they had someone rig it up and tie it up across the studio. They were talking all about how they did it.
That's fantastic.
Uh-oh.
Here's a
so
little...
I'm tattling, and you're going to get someone in trouble for it.
Oh,
but...
trouble is an understatement. And by the way, just so you know, and then we really do have to break, just so you know, there are two other microphones in the studio that were being used for nothing. There are a total of five microphones in this studio.
But that one was specifically important to have.
God forbid somebody just pick up their ass and move 2 feet down and use a different microphone.
Oh, issue, guys. Well, I'm sorry, but I thought I'd help with some information there.
Oh, I hate people. All right, thank you, Danelle.
Have a great one.
All right, there you go. We got a break. We'll back after this with Lisa Goddard. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Apparently, Clyde was freaking out about that, too.
Clyde was?
Yeah, at the party, because he didn't get to listen, because he has a regular job. And so he didn't know that we've been playing DOA on the show for a long time. So Todd the Corpse was down in the green room, and he said that when the band started playing that Blood Rock song, they started playing DOA, said that Clyde was freaking out, and he thought he was hallucinating or having a flashback or something. 503-733-2970. Why, hello there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on, Tim Riley, the AM 970 Noon News Hour from the Ministry of Truth. We have today's top five, the worst Portland marketing idea ever, and an explanation for why everything on your radio sounds terrible. 503-733-2970. Back from an exclusive 3-year tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Lisa Goddard, live on the Hill. Why, hello there, and how are you, Lisa?
I am well, but I'm so disturbed that I missed the party last week.
Well...
But I heard it was fantastic. Jim Roop is giving a rave report.
Jim Roop was very popular with the audience. He has, over the years, he has endeared himself to the Portland people. There is no doubt about that. it would be improper of me to ask you what he has said about it, because then it would desperately look... Then it would look like I'm just pathetic and want to hear people talking about it.
What did he say about
it,
Lisa?
So I'll let Sarah ask.
All right, let's cut to it. Yeah, he actually posted a little item on our internal blog.
Really?
About it. That was fantastic, but he said he was worried... He was worried that you might have overhyped the mystery guest, and he actually at one point said he was picturing the crowd just throwing bottles at him and being a rock star and just getting booed out of town.
Fantastic.
So he was delighted when he turned out to be wrong.
The audience was very receptive to Jim Roop. They are big fans of him, and they demonstrated that in spades. There's just no doubt about that. And by the way, and I look, and here's the thing. I don't know... I'll say this, that Jim Roop is impressive journalistically speaking, and I will also say that I am impressed with either A, his body's ability to process alcohol and to return him to a state of sobriety quickly, or simply his ability to wallpaper over any sort of hangover or post-drunkenness, you know, sort of disorientation the next day, because by the time he came into the show with us on Friday, he seemed like he was back at 100%, and which really doesn't seem physically possible given the amount of alcohol that I personally witnessed that man ingesting. I mean, there were several moments when we would bring him up on stage to do something, and I swear to God, he was double and sometimes triple fisting it, where he would have a was it a vodka tonic? Is that what he was drinking, Sarah?
No, he was drinking gin and tonics.
Gin and tonics in each hand, with then like a third being proffered to him by somebody nearby.
Wow.
So he really does, he was sort of holding down. He received the Hunter S. Thompson award for the evening.
That is fantastic. That's classic radio. That's the real deal right there.
Yeah, we'll send you a couple pictures or something of it. Maybe a little something so you can sort of witness the debauchery at least secondhand. It was pretty great. So, I'm glad to know that he had a good time.
Yes.
We're going to check in with him today and see if he's fully recovered and if he made it back to L.A. Hey, speaking of drunkenness, here's my ham-handed comedic segue into the death of Boris Yeltsin.
How about that?
I thought he was already dead. I swear to God.
I know. Many people did. I know. He may have been tickled, but he was not dead, as you will probably hear repeated.
Yes. Yes, you see, you too could write for the Jay Leno show.
Exactly. I think he... Yeah, Boris Yeltsin, all those comedy writers have just been waiting.
Well, I guess what I don't understand is Mikhail Gorbachev still alive?
Yes.
So, I guess I can never tell. All right, let me see how good my memory is. So, we had Yeltsin, we had Gorbachev. Before Gorbachev was... Andropov?
I think it was Andropov before Gorbachev.
And then
Brezhnev
before Andropov?
Such
a bad American.
It was the CH. It was, I can't remember.
Not Chernyenko. No, that's,
It was Chernyenko.
Was it?
Wait, no.
I realize now that we're discussing something no one cares about.
Yeah, I know. I'll pull it up. I'm embarrassed. I'm really rusty on that. I can't believe it. I won trivia contests on this stuff before, but now I've just forgotten and abandoned it.
Have you really?
Yeah, well, you know, I hang out with the geeky crowd.
Get in line, sister. You haven't seen the photos of the guys from Thursday night that had really, in some cases, 80% of their bodies covered with Star Wars tattoos.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You really have no idea. I mean, it really just takes it to a whole different level. So here's a dumb question. So what is Boris Yeltsin, and for that matter, Mikhail Gorbachev, what do you do when you're the former leader of Russia/the Soviet Union? I mean, is it Gorbachev especially? Is that guy... You hear that he's in exile or that he is in disfavor, but then you hear that he's an elder statesman and he sort of weighs in on things on the world political stage. What do you do when you used to lead Russia?
Yeah, well, Gorbachev has certainly worked the speaker circuit, and he's trying to become almost this Jimmy Carter figure for Russia, but certainly not to the same extent. He pops up every now and then in a few world conflicts, but mainly he's been on the speaker circuit and, giving talks around Russia, that kind of thing. He's become the elder statesman of Russia.
Right.
Now, as for Yeltsin, that I don't know, because his health has been questionable for some time, even though he was somewhat athletic after he left the presidency. He seemed to be doing better, but we really have not seen him as much. He seems like a guy that was very content to just hold court at his own dacha, have people come to him. Bring over whatever you want to drink or eat. I'll be here.
That's what I'm going to do someday. Really, that's what I hope my life ends up being. Where I'm basically just sitting at home and, you know, if people want to come see me, that's fine. But I'm just going to be living out in the countryside away from everybody and everything.
Right, exactly. And I have to say, I have always been a huge fan of Boris Yeltsin. He made some incredible mistakes as leader of the Soviet Union. He really did some things that were very difficult to understand, but certainly he had that. He really did see his one moment of storming on top of those tanks and really have being the single force that led to the collapse of the Soviet Union. After that, I think he had a harder time being the leader, but he was fantastic. And you know, when I was in Russia, I loved him not only because he was hilarious and fascinating to look at, but because he spoke so slowly that I honestly could look up every word that he said as he said it. And I loved him. He was the one guy I understood when I first got there.
So a guy who sort of, you know, took the military bull by the horns, but didn't necessarily have the gazinkas, as they would say, to run the country. He was sort of the Soviet Ulysses S. Grant.
You know what, that's probably a great example. He did really well under the Soviet Union. He was in charge, in fact, of the area where Yekaterinburg, which is where the last Tsar's family, Nicholas II, and his family were killed. And Yeltsin himself oversaw the destruction of that house because he didn't want, I guess, anyone to really, I don't know, worship that family or
right.
that to become a strict spot. But he also was very well known in Russia because he was one of the few Communist Party leaders who would take the subway and whose wife actually did stand in line.
Fantastic.
So he kind of got that Ross Perot thing way before Ross Perot was cool. But then somehow when he became the man in charge, I don't know, maybe the vodka was a little too easy to access. I don't know. That is
the story of this radio program as well, Lisa. It all went well, and then once they got the job, the vodka became a little too easy to access, and things all went downhill. Incidentally, and I swear to God this is true, this is not wacky DJ humor. The guy, the Kremlin spokesperson who confirmed his death, was named Smirnov. I swear to God. I swear to God that was the guy's name. So,
really?
I saw it this morning, just so you're aware of that fact. All right. Real quickly, I did want to ask you this, and this is I ask this question really vaguely because the specifics of the story seem to change about every 40 seconds, and so I don't even really know where the hell we are with this anymore. But at some point, how close are we, would you say, timeline-wise, to the Democrats being put in a put-up-or-shut-up position of having to close funding for Iraq?
Very close, very close. I think maybe a week. It looks like at this moment, the Democrats on the Hill are pretty much have figured out what their bill is going to look like. The House and Senate, it sounds like, have worked out their disagreements over language, which has to do with the exact timeline. Would it be March or would it be September of next year? What kind of benchmarks do you have? That kind of stuff. Apparently, they've worked out the details. We're still trying to get what that final compromise bill is. And it sounds like they're getting ready to pass, Congress will pass this funding bill with the timetables on Wednesday, maybe, in the House. And then I guess the Senate would do it also around that time. So a bill could get to the president Thursday, maybe Friday of this week, perhaps sooner. And you can bet the president is just waiting there with a big stamp that says veto. And he's ready to pound that in there as soon as he can. As soon as he does that, then the ball's back in Congress's court. So that could all happen easily in the next week.
Fantastic. It just seems like this country is so much in neutral. We're just going 1,000 miles an hour in no particular gear here. And I just want to see it move forward some. I just see this gridlock kind of broken on this. And by the way, somebody has clarified. The order was Lenin, Stalin, Khrushchev, Brezhnev, and drop off Chernyenko, Gorbachev.
Exactly. Chernyenko.
Boy, whatever happened to...
He was in office for like a day.
He was sort of like Pope John Paul I.
Very sickly man. Right. He's sort of the Pope Benedict of his time. Not that God bless Pope Benedict. Hope he stays in office forever, but...
Well, then there was Khrushchev, who we all just know is the guy who pounded his shoe a lot. So your grandchildren will live under communism. So, boy, you know, that guy had... You want to talk about a guy with some style. I mean, a guy with real negative charisma, to be sure, but charisma nonetheless.
I could talk forever about Khrushchev. Exactly. You know, apparently he was misquoted. And also, you know, when you talk about Stalinist Russia and Khrushchev, you know, was in that inner circle, you can watch the movie The Inner Circle.
Right.
He's always portrayed as sort of this kind of monkey yes man, you know, that if Stalin wanted to make him wear a little monkey cap and outfit, that he would do it. But all the time he was just brilliant, but he was pretending to be this just buffoon so that he would survive.
I'm just going
to
tell you this one final thing, and this is, you'll just have to trust me on this, that there's, I don't think you have this on the East Coast, but there's a supermarket chain here called Safeway.
In fact, have Safeway on the East Coast.
You do, okay. So there's...
I think we're so provincial here.
I know, I'm just saying. It's like you go to California... you know, they don't know what a Safeway is, but they got Ralph's. You come here, nobody here knows what a Ralph's is. I swear to God, when you go to the Safeway, which is by my house here in Portland, Oregon, you walk inside. I'll take a picture of this and send it to you, actually. This is how much of a nerd I am. You walk inside, and there is this painting on the wall of this man in sort of like a butcher smock with his arms spread, and before him is this bounty of fruits and vegetables, and he's inviting you apparently to come in and enjoy the cornucopia of produce and other foodstuffs that the Safeway is selling. But he looks exactly like Joseph Stalin. I mean...
Oh, that's great!
Exactly. And it does look like some weird Safeway supermarket propaganda poster. their waist. Welcome, comrades. Enjoy our 3-for-1 donut specials and the Starbucks, you know.
Our leader has provided.
Totally, exactly. Glorious leader has provided 3-for-1 Kraft macaroni today only. It really is just unbelievable. I'll take a photo of it so you can see it.
That's great.
All right, Lisa Goddard, thank you so much. A pleasure to talk to you again, and we will speak with you soon.
Okay, great.
Lisa Goddard, there you go. Political nerd, ladies and gentlemen. 503.
As are you.
Oh, it's true.
Got a little bit of breaking news here. From Houston comes word that several people have been shot in an apartment complex.
Oh, come
there.
On, really?
And Houston was where that...
That's where the nutcase was.
Yeah, NASA nutcase. Actually, NASA's subcontractor nutcase. Shot somebody.
God almighty. Is this country, are we at some weird tipping point in this country? Is this how it starts? Is this how the beginning of this country begins? The end of the country, but you know what I'm saying. Is this how it all just falls apart? It's not really, it's not nuclear weapons, it's not anthrax.
Well, except the gas went over $3 a gallon. That doesn't help.
That is true. That is true, Tim Riley.
Or are you supposed to take it out on the oil companies?
This all started when they took grape Pop-Tarts off the market. That was one step too far. Maybe that's how this whole country ends. Maybe it's not a bioweapons attack. Maybe it's just everybody in this country.
We just start killing ourselves?
Seriously. Maybe it's just, I mean, would you doubt it at this point? I mean, maybe everybody in this country just starts going crazy one by one.
Or be limited to one square of toilet paper for every visit.
Seriously. Boy, how dumb. How much do you hate Sheryl Crow? How embarrassing is she if you're a liberal? That's why no one takes liberals seriously, by the way. Liberal idiocy. Thy name is Sheryl. All right. Well, I wonder which one. You know, really, the thing is, and this is totally going to be like 28 Days Later or The Thing or something, where everybody in this country starts going crazy and going on a shooting spree, and it's going to be like 1 in 4 Americans, and we're all just going to. The movie will end with just the four of us just sitting in this room staring at each other, wondering which of us is going to go crazy. So, there you go. So, is that shooting spree over?
Yeah, it's over.
Wait, did it end with before taking his own life?
I don't have that yet.
All right, so is the gunman dead?
There's no word on the status of the attacker.
Good God. You know what the police ought to get?
Two people dead so far.
Really? Mm. Well, let's hope it was something where he just sort of cleaned himself up at the end there. So we don't have to pay for him. I will say this. Doesn't it seem like we're at a point in American society where the cops ought to have trained bees? Well, think of how many...
All the bees are gone.
Maybe they're gone because the cops are training them. That's the thing. Maybe the bees are in some sort of government training program.
They've been taken to undisclosed honeycomb.
Think about how many crimes we could just solve right there in the tracks if the cops could train bees. Bees seem pretty smart. You know what I mean? Like, instead of a police dog, which can't always get in here.
Except for all the bees are going away.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe they're going away because the cops have them somewhere training them. Maybe the government has all the bees somewhere, and they're being re-educated. And they're being, they're going through some sort of rigorous government the training program.
That's reasonable.
Imagine you're some guy taking somebody hostage. Suddenly, billions of bees come into the room. That's the end of your crime spree.
I suppose.
We should break now.
Yeah.
503-733-2970. It's just in. Everybody is a goddamn lunatic. Stay there. Back after this, it's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio, the noon news hour with Tim Riley is next. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland at 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you want to email us, you can do that as well. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondent James Roop, Peter Carlin from the Oregonian about last night's Sopranos / Entourage. Boy, Entourage was fantastic last night. Did you watch Entourage?
I didn't. I was so tired from, you know, all my bike riding, which you're not familiar with anymore. I fell asleep actually halfway through the Sopranos, which I'm really mad about.
It wasn't all that great.
Yeah.
This whole, I stand by my assessment of this season, not all that great.
I was thinking there might be a problem considering I was so excited for it and I actually fell asleep in the middle of it, which I don't fall asleep very easily.
No, nothing really happens in The Sopranos anymore. The Sopranos has become a show that I look forward to and then nothing really takes place. Like the last 15 episodes have been that way. You know, every 3, 4, 5 years, you know, episodes, there'll be a whacking of some kind. But it's just become a show that I anticipate and then always lets me down. The Sopranos, I don't want to get into the whole thing. We'll talk more about this later. It's still a fine show.
I mean, it's still better than a lot of what's on the network TV. But The Sopranos has now become the show that leads into Entourage. That's the thing. Entourage is no longer the show that follows The Sopranos. The Sopranos is the show that leads into Entourage. Entourage is now the main thrust of my Sunday evening, and The Sopranos just happens to be next to it. But it's okay. I'll stick with it, because it's only like 5 episodes, and then it's all done. So, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, he is your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid States Radio.
So two people have been shot to death, we understand, in Houston at some apartment complex. And we don't know what happened to the gunman. But it is Texas, and people are always shooting each other there. Not that there's anything right with that, but anyway. After a meeting with his top generals in Iraq.
That should be our new tag. Not that there's anything right with that.
Well, you nailed it when you said that it's hot and dry and there's no water and everybody's crazy.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
And they all worship their crazy god.
Like, God cares about people living in that climate.
Is there a special God that they worship in Texas? Is there a special crazy? Is he like a God with an arrow through his head?
He is. Like the Underwood devil hand guy? The thing with a pitchfork? That's the God of Texas.
In Texas, they worship the Underwood devil ham guy. He's going to be my new God. Oh, from this day forward, that is the deity to whom I pray. The Underwood deviled ham mascot. All right. Fantastic. Case closed. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, meanwhile, back to someone who's living in their own little delusional world. The president is citing some progress, but says it's a tough time in Iraq. He insists the U.S. troop surge in Iraq is providing the new government with some needed breathing space. He says the war is not won by politicians micromanaging generals in Iraq.
I believe strongly that politicians in Washington shouldn't be telling generals how to do their job. And I believe artificial timetables of withdrawal would be a mistake.
Well, I think the artificial timetable is what we have now, the timetable that says we're going to leave after we establish democracy. That's artificial because it's never going to happen, ever, ever, ever. I think
the real timetable is we're running out the clock and we have a while to go before the election.
Yeah, I think we need an actual timetable, as in next Tuesday, we are leaving. We are packing up our things and we are flying home. And we're going to pretend this whole sorry episode in the history of our proud republic ever occurred. An artificial timeline, by the way, is when you say mission accomplished. That's what we call a timeline that's artificial.
The president says he wants the military to continue to fight the war, not with politicians.
And therefore, I will strongly reject a artificial timetable withdrawal.
An artificial
Washington
timeline.
Politicians are trying to tell those who wear the uniform how to do their job.
George Bush is rejecting a artificial timeline. Thank you.
He praises the generals for doing a good job for the peace of the world.
Petraeus has taken on a very important assignment for the security of our country, and that is to help this young Iraqi democracy become stable, evolve into a country
that can govern itself,
and serve as an ally in this war against extremists and radicals.
You can play that again. I heard at least, you can tell, and even if probably you don't work in broadcasting, you can probably hear at least 4 different edits in that phrase where they have taken things out.
Petraeus has taken on a very important assignment for the security of our country, and that is to help this young Iraqi democracy become stable, evolve into a country that can defend itself and govern itself, and serve as an ally in this war against extremists and radicals.
I wonder what he was saying there before it was all chopped up.
Something about bees, no doubt.
Godlessness.
Bye. Something about 9/11. They just decided it was one too many. By the way, we have Clyde Lewis will be coming up at the bottom of the hour. Anybody want to place bets now on what 2 seemingly unrelated things he will link?
All right, you've got to start taking your deep breaths now, okay?
And you know what? I reject the assertion that I have been, quote, mean to Clyde the last couple of weeks. I have not been mean to... Pointing out that a lot of Clyde's insanity doesn't make any sense does not make me mean. It doesn't make me mean when I point out that a lot of what Clyde talks about is just plain lunatism. I am saying right now he will mention both bees and all of the, end of quote, and he probably won't mention Virginia Tech specifically, but he'll talk about shooting sprees and bees, and he'll link the two together somehow. I guarantee you right now that's where I'm placing my money. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, anyway, we have Rosie is going after Sheryl Crow with her suggestion to only use 1 sheet of toilet paper, the good liberal way. So here's the soundbite from my today's show.
Well, we'll get back to this.
Why,
that does seem like a reasonable suggestion.
It
I'll
does.
Begin doing that immediately. We'll get back to that in just a moment.
Gina.
Meanwhile, in other news, a hazardous chemical blamed for killing thousands of pets across the U.S. may have found its way into the human food chain. And that pipeline runs right through Oregon. It all began with hogs in a farm in Sacramento reportedly fed that contaminated livestock food. It is a rice protein concentrate that comes from several companies in China, but they don't value life. A company official says Wilbur Ellis, that owns this pig farm, by the way, this is called the American Hog Farm,
reading dissident chow.
Apparently, there is more potentially contaminated rice protein at its warehouse in North Plains, Oregon. So come on and get yours.
Oh, there you go.
So the homeowner of the California hog farm doesn't believe any of his contaminated pork was sold in Oregon, though. But there's always tomorrow. Canadian California health officials have tried to determine if tainted food was sold to any other livestock farm. She can bet it was.
So I'm unclear about this. So this is... So this is pet food? With pet food that was tainted by pork? Or something?
It is contaminated with a rice protein concentrate that came from several companies in China.
That they then also use to feed hogs.
Mm-hmm.
So that bacon you're eating might be killing you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, it's going to kill you eventually anyway. That's the
I
thing.
Bet Joni's happy to hear that.
Isn't she? A pound of bacon, girl. Yeah, there's really... Joni never met any ailment that she didn't think could be cured by pork. Never mind. Here's Tim Riley.
Can we try the soundbite one more time?
Oh, is this the Roofsy on the View soundbite?
It is. I don't know what's going to happen.
Fantastic. I don't understand what's going on.
She is complaining about Sheryl Crow's use of one sheet of toilet paper.
Is this like is this a TMZ soundbite?
It is. All right, let me go back and try this again.
Okay.
I'll just sit here. One more time. Okay.
Anywho,
it all started with somebody trying to strangle my microphone over the weekend.
Let's find a way to blame the car show for this. Well, I guess I could try this on my machine. Hold on a second.
It's on TMZ.
All right, hold on. Let me go there right now. You're hearing news as it happens.
Go about a fifth of the way down.
All right, so I am loading TMZ.com right now.
The article title is Rosie to Sheryl Crow, Have You right. Seen My Ass?
Ew.
I know it's the lunch hour, isn't it?
That is the worst thing I...
Rosie to Sheryl Crow, Have You Seen My Ass? What do you suppose the answer to that is? And to think that there are people who can answer that question with a resounding yes, that's disturbing. All right.
There's a couple people.
There's my computer down here. All right, let's see here. So it should be, it's loading as we speak.
There should be.
All right, I've got a little flashing cube thing that says loading. Any second now.
Any second now.
Any moment now. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to hear. And to think
it was
going through all this trouble to hear Rosie O'Donnell speak.
I know.
Really, that's something that most people go out of their way to avoid. And here we are jumping through several hoops just to make it happen. Oh, for the love of God. Come on.
See? It's not working.
Well, no, wait. Here we go. Do I wish to play video?
Yes, you want to play the video.
All right.
One moment, please.
Can we put you back up?
We're experiencing technical difficulties.
All right. Loading right now.
Let's give it five more seconds, and then we'll give up.
It says, you are watching Rosie. I'm really not. I'm just watching this single frame of video.
Maybe because it's so popular.
I suppose. All right. Would you like to resume viewing? I haven't started viewing.
No.
I love technology. All right. Any second now. Any moment.
How much do we want to hear this, actually? We can come back to it later.
I feel like I have... You know what this reminds me of?
We can come back to it five or six times.
Waiting for this TMZ clip of Rosie O'Donnell to play, now that we've spent about 4 hours waiting for it, this reminds me of when I was seeing Grindhouse last night, and we're there at the theater, and I needed some coffee, and typically I try to avoid buying any sort of refreshments at the theater because it's like $80 to buy like a bottle of water, and that's where all their profit margins come from, and so I deliberately don't buy concessions at the theater because I know that that's hitting them in the pocketbook. That's really hitting them where it hurts.
But I had no choice. I just desperately needed caffeine. I didn't have any time to make coffee before we left the house. So I'm at the cinema yesterday, and I'm waiting in line. And you ever do this where you wait in line and you realize, oh, for the love of God. Now it's interrupting my story. Now it has to wait. But you realize too late that you've gotten into the wrong line, like that the other line is sort of moving quickly, and the line you've gotten into is the one that just moves at like the speed of an ice age. But you realize that too late, and by that time, it's pointless to move to the other line because more people have gotten into it. And so you reach that sort of event horizon, that tipping point, where you realize that your line moves excruciatingly slowly, but you've invested so much personal time into it that it is no longer advantageous to switch lines. Like, you're like, well, I've waited in this line for 9 minutes already. I'm not gonna make that 9 minutes for nothing. I'm not gonna have that 9 minutes have been for naught. I will continue to wait in this line.
I did that at Quiznos once.
That's totally it. It's because it's like you waited there so long that you would feel like a fool if you just left. It's like you waited there so long you have no choice but to wait longer. That's how it's with this TMZ clip. All right, let's give it a play.
We won't hold you to it.
It was just playing.
Okay, TMZ, you got to do something to fix this.
It was just playing moments ago when I put it on pause to tell my exciting theater story.
Well, we'll hear it some other time.
Boy, let me just say this, though. About the Century Esports 16, which is where I saw Grindhouse, they have the most horrific and monstrous-looking nachos you've ever seen in your life. I mean, really just grotesque. I mean, really, just these weird, unnatural, unholy ribbons of guacamole just make it look like the least appetizing thing on earth. All right. We should move forward.
Okay, let's read something equally tantalizing.
I'm trying reverse psychology. By saying we're going to move forward, I'm hoping I can trick the computer into playing. Because you know as soon as we say we're going to go to a different... See?
And Sheryl Crow had a couple of ideas. One was that we should stop using paper napkins, that we should have a sleeve made that you put over your whatever you're wearing, so that when you want to go
wipe your nose,
you have this sleeve.
Why didn't you say that? They're already made.
So, you know, you're going out there.
She wants everyone to use one square of toilet paper to wipe. Even though all I want to do is have some fun. One little thing, I can't see my ass.
That's the grossest thing you hear today.
Good God almighty. I mean, it's gross on hundreds of levels. Mm-hmm. And I think we went to all this trouble to hear that. First of all, let's just say this. That it must be just disheartening to be... Who is that other woman on there? Is it Joy Behar?
Yes, it is.
There's Joy Behar, Barbara Walters, Rosie O'Donnell, and... Stop.
Oh, for the love of God.
Now it wants to play.
Now
it's just playing everything. No, seriously, and then the next one is just starting without me even asking it. I'm closing this window. But I mean, there's Joy Behar, Barbara Walters, Rosie O'Donnell, and then the woman that no one knows. That other girl who is known by no one. It must be really disheartening to be, for example, Joy Behar, because nobody pays any attention to anybody but Rosie on that show. I mean, that's the thing. Regardless of what we think about Rosie O'Donnell, or however irritating we may find her, I mean, you have to admit that she does. She's got a certain horrible, as I said about the, what's his name? Nikita Khrushchev. Much like Nikita Khrushchev, Rosie O'Donnell has a certain horrible charisma.
We will bury you.
She does have a certain something. She has a presence to her. That's
she has a
thing.
Huge presence.
Have you seen my huge presence? And so the people on that show are just so overshadowed by her. How do I put this? Okay, I don't want this to sound as horrible as it might sound. Rosie O'Donnell is, in a very real way, the Dennis Pitzenbacher of that show, in that can be somewhat abrasive, can be a little harsh on the ears from time to time, can in large doses, I suppose, depending on who you are, perhaps be a little off-putting, maybe, but is really impossible to ignore, and really just tends to overshadow almost anybody else that they're in a room with. Dennis does that, and Rosie O'Donnell does that too. And so it's got to be frustrating to be Joy Behar, and you're there, and you're trying to be funny and amusing and present a balanced point of view or whatever. And meanwhile, the only thing on that show that anybody will talk about. Think about every time The View has been in the news the last 2 weeks, the last month.
The last 6 months, every single time The View has been in the news, has it been because of anything that, for instance, Joy Behar or other girl has done? No, it's all been because of Rosie O'Donnell. Even when Barbara Walters has been in the news, it's been commenting on something that Rosie O'Donnell has done on that show. So I must chap everybody else's asses to have that be the case. And I don't even want to think about Rosie O'Donnell using one. I don't want to think about her using any amount of toilet paper on any spot on her body at all, ever. And I hate to ask this, but
maybe she has a bidet.
One of those fiery bidets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not prepared with my Rosie O'Donnell toilet sounder. Do we have audio of Sheryl Crow saying that you got to wipe with one piece?
I can go look for it.
I mean, please don't feel like you have to put a lot of work into it. I was just wondering. Because I was wondering if, I mean, I hate to ask this, but did she specify which kind of business she was talking? Well, she must have been talking about the number two.
Maybe she was specifically talking about females.
Maybe she was only speaking to women. That's entirely possible. All right.
I have a sister's play to run over what my toilet says.
There you go. Fantastic. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, I'm looking for the Sheryl Crow cut. But anyway, let's talk about somebody else. How about Katie Couric? She's another lady who's always in the news. Let's see. I'm looking for the Sheryl Crow. Apparently, there's nobody there for that.
Okay.
Well, we'll find it some other time.
All right.
Anyway, CBS executives deny it, and we have no inside information, but there's a growing feeling with the network that Katie Couric is an expensive and fixable mistake.
That's hard to believe.
Yes, with a $15 million salary, her viewership has dropped nearly 30% since her September 5th premiere week when she averaged an inflated 10.2 million viewers.
Well, to be fair to Katie Couric, that is a little misleading when they say that.
Yes, it is.
It's like the second season premiere of South Park, which is probably the best example of this, where the second season premiere of South Park, they had been on the cover of Spin and on the cover of Rolling Stone. And I think they'd been in Life, or not Life, but I think they'd been in Time magazine as well. In other words, they had been promoted everywhere, all over planet Earth. And then, of course, the second, you know, the episode after that, they just go back to their regular viewing levels. And everybody seizes upon that as their viewership sort of imploding, when really it was that one episode had an artificially inflated amount of viewers because it had been so unbelievably hyped. That's what it is with Katie Couric. But to be fair, I don't think anybody in this room watches Katie Couric.
No, I read about it in the Inquirer recently.
I think I saw that one episode of that show, and I think that's just because old people, I mean, that's the bulk of TV news viewing is done by old people whose habits are slow to change and who don't want to see a woman in a pantsuit delivering the news, and I think we all know that's true.
Let's see. Some people say there are middle-aged white guys out there saying, give me news from a middle-aged white guy. No surprise, then, that ABC's Charles Gibson News 64 is now battling first place with NBC's Brian Williams, who turns 48 next month. She's trying too hard, some say. She's overthinking her role. She's got to sit back. It's a very zen problem. Meanwhile, Katie took another PR hit recently when it was revealed from her CBS blog that it's written by a producer. That's right, it is ghostwritten. And the tabloids have been having a frenzy reporting her new boyfriend is 17 years her junior.
I think they ought to be, I mean, they ought to be promoting that fact more. I mean, really, because they have lost, they're never going to get my in-laws to watch her. The people who are 55 and up are never, ever, ever going to watch Katie Couric during the news. Right, wrong, or indifferent, they're just never going to do that because they all grew up watching Walter Cronkite and so forth. And they're just not, and her news is just so, it's just so soft and fuzzy seeming. I mean, there's no news in her news. It just doesn't seem, news used to sort of be like a straight shot of gin. You know what I mean? You would watch Cronkite and it just seemed like he was giving you the cold, hard facts, whether you liked him or not. And it is
everyone met at Toots Shores and smoked cigars
exactly.
And vodka.
Talked about Merle's boys during the Blitz. Mm-hmm. And he just took your news like a straight shot of whiskey. And hers is just sort of like an aperitif. Hers is it's sort of like news as daiquiri. And you're never going to get old people to like that. But they're screwed because old people are never going to like that. And young people don't watch the evening news, period.
Local news, for that matter.
No, I mean, I myself am not all that young, and I don't watch. I cannot remember the last time I watched a television newscast, except for Katie Couric's inaugural broadcast, and that was just so we could make fun of it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have. I mean, literally, unless we were going to be on the news, like we've been on Coin a few times and so forth.
That was the only time it was good.
It's probably been 10 years. It has probably been a solid decade since I sat and watched the evening news, and probably longer than that. So, anyway, so good luck with that.
Well, we'll let you know what happens. Something else with the ladies here. At least five restaurants say they'll drop prices for women patrons by 23% to reflect the conclusion that American women on the average earn much less than men. One of the places where you ladies can get a discount is the Baker City Cafe, which is about 500 miles from here. The cafe will be joined by the main event, The Little Pig, The Chameleon, and Ellen J. Dilly, all in Baker City. Nobody in Portland is doing this yet. Apparently, women make less than men, and they're trying to make it a little more fair for the ladies to eat.
All right. Cue men's activist group whining on television about this in 3, 2, 1.
Meanwhile, mismanagement of estates. That's how Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid characterizes the president's stewardship of the ongoing war. He calls the president obstinate.
The president has had a long time to dig the ditch we're in. A long time. And we're working every day very hard to dig out of that deep ditch.
All right. Well, Newt Gingrich says the U.S. must win this war.
If we lose the Iraq war,
we already did,
this will be an enormous victory for terrorism. They will all interpret it as victory. The world's news media will interpret it as a victory for terrorism. The world will be substantially more dangerous.
Like, the rest of the world doesn't have TVs and has no idea what's going on.
Well, and I was just going to say, it really, from the sound of the news the last week or so, it doesn't really sound like we need to worry about the rest of the world coming to kill us. It sounds like we need to worry about tech students and Texans coming to kill us, because it does look as though we're sort of falling apart from within recently. This email says, Rick, I'm sure your radio engineers listen to Lars Larson. It sounds like they buy your radio equipment from Walmart. Does Lars do ads for Walmart?
Well, I've never listened to the show.
No,
what time is he on?
I have no idea, but it seems likely, doesn't it? And actually, just sort of picturing that guy's face, I can totally picture him in like big fat ass Docker pants, waddling through an awful Walmart aisle, buying some sort of sodium laced food by the case. Rick, dear God, you heartless bastard! I know you all take a twisted pleasure in presenting disgusting stories to the audience during the lunch hour, and normally I can let it slide. However, the horror that I've experienced while you spoke about Rosie O'Donnell's poorly wiped ass as I took a bite of my leftover queso has indeed caused me to hurl. I would like to apologize now to my company's janitorial crew. Well, sorry about that, sir. I apologize. Here's Tim Riley.
What do you got to do? More for Newt Gingrich. He says the U.S. shouldn't be in Iraq forever.
But I do think that you have to say that there is not an open-ended American commitment to propping up an Iraqi political system that refuses to make tough decisions.
Haven't we been propping up an Iraqi... Insert joke here. I don't know. I was going to make some joke about propping up. I can never remember who we propped up over there or not. Was it Iraq or Iran? Or was it both?
No, Iraq.
Didn't we install the Shah of Iran? Or did we overthrow the Shah of Iran?
No, they overthrew the Shah of Iran. We installed him.
Doesn't it seem like it's not entirely outside the realm of possibility that we did both, though? I mean,
maybe so.
I was just sort of rummaging around in my head. I was trying to remember whether we installed a puppet leader in Iran or whether we got rid of a leader in Iran. And then I realized that it is quite likely, and the two aren't mutually exclusive. It's entirely possible that we did both. I can't keep track of which puppet governments are currently operating where in the world, and which are at the behest of us and which aren't. It's all very confusing.
Well, most are.
Yeah. Do we have to break? Are we done with this Iraq story?
Oh, yeah, we are. We have Richard Little coming up after
do
that.
Do we?
Yes,
we do. God bless this world. All right. Well,
yeah, we're done with Iraq. For now.
Well, whatever. We should break. Whatever gets us closer to a Rich Little story. Did you see any of that on C-SPAN?
No.
Oh, God. Boy, it's just the worst. I don't know if it's a toupee or if it's just like the worst dye job on earth. Boy, that guy just looked terrible. He looked awful. Rich Little's another one of those guys that is like, where has he been for the last 30 years? Has he just been living in a cave somewhere waiting to be called back by a Republican administration? He's just been doing nothing. Anyway, we'll come back. We got more around the corner. Rich Little news, ladies and gentlemen. Plus Clyde Lewis later on. Jim Ruby, stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. think that might be a studded dildo. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970.
Did that come out of your mouth? What is wrong with you?
Yes, Sarah, a studded dildo came out of my mouth. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. We ought to start doing that Marlon Perkins thing, you know, where, like, he would, like, tag an animal on the ear with something so he could track it. Let's just start doing that with our jokes, and then we'll see how long it takes them to appear elsewhere. 503-733. It took less than 24 hours last week. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Tim Riley's here at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent James Roop. I'll be drinking some more coffee later on. That'll be exciting. We've got the top five. We got Peter Carlin coming up later on with the Sopranos recap and more. Hey, is this Scotty? Is this Clyde Lewis? How did I know? All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And stellar host of Rick Emerson Listener Party 10 last Thursday, the original hairy, scary guy. He's terrified that bees are vanishing. He's Clyde Lewis.
Hey, I gotta tell you, it was a great party. It was.
You, how drunk were you by the time you went on stage?
I was totally plowed.
Yeah.
Man, Clyde, it was like a stand-up show. It was awful.
That's Sarah who said that, by the way.
The crap that was coming out of your mouth, dude.
I know. I had a lot of... Well, they were laughing, but they'd also said that they couldn't believe half the stuff that was coming out of my mouth, so I decided to just back off. But
I mean, we were sort of thinking, like, you'd go up and maybe talk a little bit about your history with the show and how you and I got into radio and whatever.
Well, yeah, but I thought people would be bored by that, because we all know that you and I have basically been together forever, and it's kind of like, you know... Our history needs to be done in a documentary form. We need to talk about anything from Lucky Butt the Clown all the way down. So.
So instead they got profane anecdotes about the guy who pumped gas for your car.
Yeah, well, that's still funny.
I mean, you call it summertime when girls go...
Oh, don't go there. Don't go there. That was like, that's too soon, as we say. Too soon.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
We don't want to talk about it, really.
It was one of those things.
Like it didn't happen because it did happen, Clyde.
Well, it did happen, and you know, it's like we just kind of like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you put a lampshade on your head, you really don't want people to remember that you did that, or throw up on people's shoes or anything like that.
Does anybody really do that? Does anybody actually put lampshades on their heads?
No, and does anybody really have a bottle that has XXX on it when they drink out of it? No, I don't think so. No, it's not true. But
my next contract, though, I am going to ask that they give me my, when I get paid, it just comes in a huge bag with a dollar sign in the front of it.
Well, yeah, you got to put that your rider. You got to have a Rick Emerson rider that all your money comes in a dollar sign bag, that all the beverages you drink have XXX on them, and you have to hire some guy to stand there with a lampshade over his head.
And that I have a bowl full of baby's blood in the green.
Something like that,
so,
yeah.
So, go ahead. Come on.
What?
Don't be coy. I know you want to go off on something about the craziness of the world.
Well, okay, here's the craziest of the world. Now, I have been avoiding this story about the yacht that basically came through Australia and it had nobody on it. You heard about this story?
The what that came through where now?
Tony from the Cove was the guy that told me about this. There was and gosh, speaking of profane, one of your guys was showing me horse porn at the party. It was really weird.
I'm sorry? One of what guys?
You didn't bleep that, did you?
One of what guys?
So one of your listeners was showing me horse porn.
I
don't even know if I'm allowed to say who it was, but they had it on their cell phone, and it was, like, disturbing, and
let's stop here. Somebody from the audience had a horse pornography on their cell phone and was showing it to you?
Yes.
Okay, who was it?
I don't know.
I know
who it is, but I don't want to say his name because it's kind of profane. He's on my MySpace. He's my MySpace guy.
All right.
He's on my MySpace. He's on your MySpace.
Hold on. What do you mean you know who he is, but it's profane?
Well, his name is profane, and I wouldn't want to say it on the air.
Is he an internet only friend?
Well, he's one of your listeners, and he's also one of my friends on MySpace and one of your friends on MySpace.
Do you not know his real name?
Yes, it has to do with pitchforks.
Pitchfork abortion?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. No,
well,
that's
okay.
That ship has already sailed. That's a bad. Those guys called in about 2 weeks ago. They're like, Rick, Pitchfork Abortion would love to play your party. This is like the most hideous statement that's ever been said.
Okay, well, I didn't know.
It's so horrifying.
I mean, I don't know what to say anymore because I, you know,
no,
I get up and I talk about the spring is in bloom because of the, high heels and something else.
The FCC is totally fine with that phrase.
Well, okay, then fine.
So
then they wouldn't be. They wouldn't be. They wouldn't be totally fine with the words.
Oh, he had horse
CT, would they?
Clyde, stop.
Can I say CT?
Stop.
No, I can't.
He had a horse porn on his camera.
Was it his camera or was on his cell phone?
Or on his cell phone, and he was showing it to you.
He was showing it to me, too.
Did he warn you in advance?
Actually, no. He just showed it to me, and I was, like, shocked.
Was he showing it to you in, like, a laughing manner? Or was he like, oh, check this out?
Or was he was laughing about
was
it.
Like was it like a springing it on you kind of thing? Like, Clyde, look at this. Ha-ha.
Yeah. It was kind of like I was in, you know, I felt like Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party. It was funny.
All right.
But anyway, back to the yacht. But anyway, Tony from the Coup told me about the yacht, and he's sitting there saying, what do you think of this yacht story? And I was trying to avoid the story because I was thinking, oh, my God, it's probably just some story about whatever. But I was reading it yesterday again, and it really, really, and I met with Aaron about it, and we were talking about it, and we thought maybe alien abduction, and then he turned around and he said, no, pirates. I'm thinking, yeah, pirates.
Here's the thing. No one has any idea what the hell you're talking about.
Okay, there was a boat in Sydney, Australia, that rolled up into port the other day. Food was set. It was warm. All the computers were on. Everything in the boat was fine. The dinghy was still on the boat. The life jackets were still there. But the mast had been ripped to shreds, and the occupants of the boat were never found. No blood, nothing. They were taken from this earth. Never in their air to be seen again.
I'm thinking it was a kraken.
Hey, you know what? That's funny. Somebody else brought up the Kraken. They brought up Kraken, they brought up Cthulhu, and somebody else even brought up the Ropin, which is a pterodactyl that flies around Australia and basically rips the, goes after boats and
no,
goes
it doesn't.
After.
No, huh? No, it doesn't.
It doesn't?
No, it doesn't.
Are you sure?
And those people are crazy. I'm fooling.
Well, what? The Kraken?
Yeah.
You saw that octopus. You saw that squid. And you're afraid of that stuff. You're afraid of squids and octopi. And you saw that 50 yard, what is, no, it was more than that. How big was that squid that you showed us?
I think you're just having a conversation with yourself now. It's
no,
not like
I'm
you're
not.
Asking me you, questions and answering
you,
for me.
You, my friend, are afraid of mollusks and cephalopods, and you've always been afraid of them.
Okay.
You're afraid of cephalopods, and is it cephalopods? That's how you call them. Cephalopods.
I swear to God, we're back
mollusks.
In that not knowing what the hell we're talking
squiddy,
about.
Squiddy, and octopus's garden rock and roll. You are afraid of octopi. You've always been afraid of octopi.
So what's going
you
on
even
at,
wince at lobsters.
What's going on at Dante's tonight?
Can I breathe? Okay. I'm going to be speaking about whatever, strange stuff. But in the meantime, I want to tell you, the movie They Called X is going to be showing at the Ross Island Grocery. It's on Corbett and Whitaker, about 3338 Southwest Whitaker. And Corbett, we're going to have a little question and answer, and there will be burger cakes abounding everywhere.
Of course.
And cheap beer. So it's cheap beer, burger cakes in the movie. There is a cost for the food, but it's worth it. And then Ross Island Grocery is a great place to go if you want some really good cheap
It is the place where everybody
libation.
Knows your name.
Yes. It's cheap libation. It's burger cake. It's a movie with you in it, me in it, strippers, and a Klingon. I think it's worth your time to go Friday night at 8:30. It will be there. It'll be fun, and I think you'll have a great time.
All right. Clyde Lewis, ladies and gentlemen, groundzeromedia.org tonight at the Ground Zero Lounge, 8 o'clock. Thank you, Clyde. Good God Almighty. All right, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. I swear to God, sometimes there are four or five voices in that guy's head, and I'm having to compete with all of them and losing. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, here's someone who has a very special place in hell reserved for her. A candidate for Southern Oregon University student body president has admit she was lying when she claimed to be the cousin of someone who was killed in the Virginia Tech shootings.
Oh, that ain't right.
Brandi Freeman spoke at a candlelight vigil held by students at the university Thursday night. With tears streaming down her face, she claimed she lost her cousin in the shootings. But by Friday, she admitted to making up the story to try to appeal to voters in the student body to get extra votes.
You almost have to just admire that because it's just
but
so
now,
crass.
But now, to make matters worse, there's a reason for it. She claims she has bipolar disorder.
Of course, and she'll be in rehab by the end of the week.
She is a dean's list student and a member of the student senate.
She said she'll drop out of the student body elections because of her actions.
That's like when Ronald Reagan... See, the thing about the internet has made it hard to make stuff up about yourself. It used to be that you could just fabricate things about yourself all day long and nobody could ever figure it out. Like Ronald Reagan used to do that all the time. And there were all of these instances that they've discovered now, with the ability of Googling and so forth, what with the interwebs, where Ronald Reagan would be giving speeches. There was some speech that Ronald Reagan gave, and I don't have the specifics, but Ronald Reagan gave this speech where he was talking about, he was talking about some conversation he had with a wounded soldier. And it was some tearful conversation that he had with a soldier in a hospital. And I said to that brave young man, blah, 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 blah. And that brave young man said to me, well, blah, 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 Jesus, blah, blah, blah. And everybody thought, oh, that Ronald Reagan, what a great communicator he is. He goes and he speaks to a brave young man in the hospital. And then you find out later it's like some scene from some movie he did. Yeah. Some scene from like an Audie Murphy film that he was just reciting. Couldn't remember whether we traded arms or hostages, but could remember some scene well enough that he could do it word for word 40 years later in lieu of actual events. Hey, speaking of Ronald Reagan, do we have this Rich Little thing?
Well, see, I do have
because I've got some YouTube video of him, but I haven't previewed it. I don't know if he works blue or not.
I don't have very much on him, but he says. He thinks he was elected to, first of all, Rich Little was the master of ceremonies at the White House Correspondents Association dinner in Washington Saturday night. He thinks he was elected for the job because he's a safe bet in the joke department.
I'm not terribly political, and I think that's one of the reasons they picked me this year was they didn't want to get too political and have too many barbs thrown at the president, which I can understand.
Stephen Colbert.
So let's see, what did he do there? Well, nothing that really made the news. He does do an impersonation of Dr. Phil, which he did.
Dr. Phil, I know the Rich Little Desmond, and I think...
This is the worst Dr. Phil I've ever heard.
I do.
That's the worst Dr. Phil impression. I do it better.
Maybe it's Center for Medicine.
Seriously, and I did not watch. I've only seen little clips of this. Now I'll play a little bit of those off C-SPAN.
Yeah.
But, the thing about Rich Little is, I guess it's wrong for me to dislike him because he's never done anything to me. But it just seems like comedy from a different era. But not in the way that, like, Don Rickles is or Shecky Green or somebody or the Red Buttons. I mean, there's comedy from a different era that is from, like, the 50s and the 60s, like the Mort Saul era of comedy or the Bob Newhart or, again, the Don Rickles, the very, very sort of racially and ethnically and religiously charged kind of comedy or the Lenny Bruce era. That's comedy from a different era that you can sort of appreciate as sort of an artifact or at least is part of the evolution of comedy. Rich Little seems like comedy from a different era, in the sense that it was from this era when everything was just completely toothless and prepackaged and pointless and sterile and completely unfunny. I mean, he's sort of like the REO Speedwagon of comedy. You know what I mean? He's sort of like the Night Ranger of the comedy world. It's just very, very bloated and unfunny and no edges to it at all. Completely rounded off and unthreatening in every way and not really all that good.
Right, it was comedy that was done in the days before people had a remote control and could just surf right by it.
Yeah, and they had no options. Mm-hmm. When it was either
he's
this...
He's kind of a lazy man's comedian.
It was either this or that test pattern with the Indian.
Well, I like the test pattern with the Indian.
That's all it was. Well, I guess we'll go back to the talking guy. This Indian doesn't seem to be doing much. He's sort of like, Rich Little is like, he's like a really bland but bountiful all-you-can-eat buffet, where you pay about $7.99 and the food is really starchy and uninteresting and bland and spiceless. But there's a lot of it, and it'll fill you up, you know what I mean? It'll get you through to the next.
Right, it's someone you bring to town to raise money for the Boy Scouts of the hospital that's in trouble.
Totally. And I know people who, I was seeing, like Stephanie Miller was talking about this morning. And I think it was Jim Warner who was talking about it, how he watched it. And he said that as the presidents that Rich Little impersonates got newer, the impressions got worse and worse. Because, of course, he the best impression he does is Nixon. That's his Freebird. And then he does a really good, he does it, or did anyway. The thing is, I haven't even heard him for so long. I'm not even really sure if he was ever good or if I was just young and stupid and didn't know any better. Because impressionists have gotten a lot better over the years. The impressions have been raised to an art form. They really have. Like, for example, that guy on Stephanie Miller does flawless impressions of some people. But Richard Little did Nixon really well. He was seen, I seem to recall he did a good Reagan. He did kind of a good Jimmy Carter. And then I guess beyond that, everything is crap. I guess all of his, I guess he does George W. Bush, and I guess he does Clinton, but apparently they're terrible. And just, he just doesn't, he stopped. It's like when you go to see a band, and their big hit was 30 years ago, and they've got new material. And they say, we're going to play, here's one of our new album. And you just kind of, that's when you go to the beer garden. That's when you go out to buy a hot dog. Because you don't care about the crap. You don't want to hear them play Cherry Pie. You don't care about the crap off their new album. All right, I hope this is clean. Although, really, honestly, I can't possibly fathom Rich Little being profane. But, you know, we'll see. This is
he might be a Bob Saget in his off hours.
Don't you F my daughters, Vince. Don't you F my daughters. little entourage humor there. This is Rich Little from C-SPAN. I don't know what he's doing. Although
I'm going to be bad if it's on C-SPAN.
Oh, who's to say? C-SPAN might get wild. Although
it's like Brian Lamb doing profanity on stage.
I'm watching his body language here. I'm just doing a little game with myself.
He has a niche.
I'm watching his body language, and I'm predicting, based on his body language, he's either doing Reagan or Johnny Carson. That's another one he did. He was good at Johnny. Because you remember, if you watched that movie, The Late Shift, which is the HBO movie about the whole battle for Leno and Letterman, he actually played Johnny Carson in The Late Shift. All right, so this is Rich Little. I'm guessing Carson, based on his body language. Oh, gosh, the whitest crowd ever.
Tonight we'll be looking to see what's cooking in Washington, D.C., and the big White House and the Congress halls and the U.S. Treasury.
Is this an impression of someone?
Is that Mark Russell?
That would be, is he actually doing an impression of Mark Russell? That makes sense, actually.
It kind of sounds like
he's singing and there's a piano in the background.
And of course, there's a certain demographic, like 55 plus, who knows who he is.
I was going to say, we're really speaking out of the same demographic that knows who Stan Freberg is.
You're listening to KEX.
Mark Russell was this might be one of those things that no one even knows about.
He was around for years. I don't know if he's still around.
You know what? I liked Mark Russell. Mark Russell, I know we have totally lost the Sarahs of the world now, but Mark Russell was a political comedian in the 80s, and his shtick was he did sort of these funny original songs about politicians. Nothing too mean, a little edgy. He would throw in a little barb now and again, but pretty friendly all around. And he had a red, white, and blue piano. And he would be in the middle of the stage playing a red, white, and blue piano. He had a bow tie. And he looked like, Fred Willard with a bow tie. And he would sing these sort of, you know, these sort of like inside the beltway, you know, songs about like Ronald Reagan or whatever. I think Rich Little is actually impersonating Mark Russell.
This capital city of the wise and the witty has presidents by galore.
That is, I swear to God, that's what he's doing. Boy, how old, what is the average, I mean, I'm not one to talk, I'm 34 now with this, but what is the average age?
If you remember the chattering class, you would know who these people are.
What is the mean age of this audience?
Republicans and Democrats and bureaucrats galore.
Oh, God. This hurts.
Sing a little song all about the throng in Washington. Make a little toast, and we're going to roast how things are done.
You know, your tax dollars paid for this. I'm going to skip ahead here.
Do you have anything from the Prairie Home Companion?
It's cold in Lake Wobega. I don't know how to do Garrison Keillor.
You got to take three deep breaths for every syllable.
and then just have a banjo strumming in the background. All right, I'm going to skip ahead. I can't believe I'm spending this time on this one. He'll be dead the next time we talk about him. The next time Rich Little's in the news, it'll be prefaced by the snuff watch theme. All right, let me see what this is. I'm going to watch it again with the sound off here.
That does sound like fun.
All right. Okay, I'm guessing, based on the body language, I was wrong last time. I thought it was Carson and it was Mark Russell.
Mm.
I'm guessing now it's Nixon. I think he's doing Nixon based on his body language here. Such an old audience.
Who the hell are you people?
Oh, it's Reagan.
Reagan.
Well.
Oh, there you go. That's it. That's his Reagan in a nutshell, is the way he says, well.
That was totally it. That's the...
Or Mr. Gorbachev teared down this wall.
That's his, well, that is to his Reagan as the not gonna do it is to Carvey's Bush. Mm. That's totally what that is.
You know, somebody asked me the other day.
You know, this isn't really a very good Reagan now that I think about it. I think maybe I've just come to expect more from my hack comedians.
They said, Mr. President, do you think the war on poverty is over? And I said, yes. Yes, it was. And the poor lost. They did. You know, they should have quit when they were ahead.
That's comedy.
And, of course, they didn't, and we knew this. But nonetheless, at that particular time, we were willing to negotiate with a group or a fraction within the group that was willing to negotiate.
Imagine sitting for like an hour of this. Imagine
they're waiting for dessert.
Sitting there in the crowd staring at your fettuccine, which has gone cold. And just wondering about all the things you could be doing with your life at this moment. Instead, you're watching Rich Little on stage. He doesn't do anybody alive. Does he impersonate anyone who's alive? I mean, just Carter. That's it. Everybody else he impersonates is dead. All right, I'm done with that. I'm done. Well, that's, swear to God, that's the last we'll torture anybody with Rich Little.
All right.
God almighty. All right.
Let's get back to talking about killings and murders.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail the whole show, but... God damn, that was terrible. All right, here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's play some more.
Okay.
Meanwhile, a candidate for the race of the mayor of Philadelphia says the homicide rate needs to be controlled. Say only a few per month. Michael Nutter says, with 10 murders over the weekend,
Nutter.
The summer of slaughter is in the city's future.
There is a black genocide going on in this city. 73% of last year's homicide victims were black men. If a group came to town, Ku Klux Klan or the White Knights or whatever you want to call yourself, there would be much more attention focused on this issue. The city would be in a literal shutdown.
Nutter.
So come to Philadelphia for the summer of slaughter, presented by the Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce.
The summer of slaughter. Bring the family, featuring Mastodon as the opening act. All right, summer of slaughter, brought to you by Jägermeister. Let's see. Hey, somebody sent me a picture of Rick. You had an Indian test pattern. We had some kid at a chalkboard with a creepy looking puppet. This guy has sent me a picture of what the test pattern was on the BB. Oh, it's that Mark, the British guy, sent me a picture of the test pattern. Hey, you know this one cool thing they do during Grindhouse? You will appreciate this, Tim. The one great thing they do during the movie Grindhouse is during the closing credits. Do you remember that thing that they used to show at the beginning of films? And it would be this, you know, there's a 3-2-1 countdown at the beginning of old film strips. It'd be 3-2-beep. And there would be like a single frame of a woman's face. Do you remember that?
I remember that, yeah.
It turns out that there are actually many, many women who were used for that, and they were all just women who worked at the photo labs.
Oh, wow.
And wherever the film, the particular type of film was developed, they would take a picture of a woman there, and that's what they would use for color, like, to test the color. And so at the end of Grindhouse, they have a whole collage of the women's faces from those single frames at the countdown at the beginning of... Today's whole show is just conversations of crap that, like, half of what... Niche casting is what this is today. Clear Channel would not approve. Here's Tim Riley.
Many of the 2008 presidential candidates were up on the boat over the weekend, including Barack Obama in New York to address the Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. The event featured a comical exchange between Obama and Sharpton. It concerns Sharpton's vibrating BlackBerry and is unclear...
Sharpton's vibrating black what?
BlackBerry. Mm-hmm. Sharpton's vibrating BlackBerry and his unclear position on whether or not he supports Obama or a fellow Democrat. So here's the joke.
Sharpton's vibrating BlackBerry.
This is the woman down here. That's Sharpton's BlackBerry. Is that Hillary Clinton?
I think Obama has become the guy that he can just get cheers with anything. He doesn't even have to be legitimately witty anymore. He can just open his mouth and, you know, seven. And his people just burst into applause.
Yeah.
Al Sharpton's vibrating BlackBerry, by the way, is funnier than anything Barack Obama just said right there. So there you go. I would also just like to say, Nutter.
I barely knew her.
Just want to use that at least once more. Here's Tim Riley.
There's been a minor earthquake just moments ago in the San Fernando Valley north of Los Angeles, a 3.1. The epicenter is in Pacoima.
which is one suburb that nobody really needs anyway. Meanwhile, a couple brandishing a handgun were shot to death at a posh Laguna Beach resort last night. Sergeant Jason Kravitz says officers responded to calls of a naked woman running around with a handgun at the Montage Resort, which costs like $250 a night. He says cops approached her $2,200, almost, this is evil, they approached her $2,200 a night bungalow, the most expensive one there.
They also see there's a man in the room. The weapon kept changing hands between the man and the woman, and at various times, each one of them was pointing the gun at the officers, peering for their safety, or they ended up firing right into the hotel room.
So they killed them both.
Well, well done then. Fantastic. Save us all a step.
A high school in Ashburn, Georgia made history this past weekend as it held its first ever school-sponsored integrated prom. That's right, blacks and whites got to be in the room together. About 150 Turner County High School students attended the event, which was described as very racially mixed. In a report, this story came out this morning.
In 2000, I was just going to say.
Very racially mixed.
Is Rich Little going to make an appearance at some point in this story? Because this sounds about 30 years old.
Really?
Huh?
Where is this?
This is in Ashburn, Georgia. Does it say, I'm unclear about this, does it say, and that seems to be a running theme today, does it say why this is the first integrated dance ever? Is it just that there was no one black at the school, or is the case maybe no one white at the school?
It says, they have always held two separate proms, one for white students and another for black students.
Jesus Christ almighty.
I'm serious.
God damn, this country sucks. This country is so weird sometimes.
Well, this is a John McCain's demographic that he's going after.
I can't. And that was what Georgia?
This is Turner County, Georgia. And the city is Ashburn. They have always held two separate proms. One for whites, another for blacks.
It's just kind of weird. I mean, it's weird on like hundreds of levels. A, it's weird that we're reading the story in 2007, which is, I don't know, only, what, 43 years after the Civil Rights Act passed, that they finally are holding... But don't you think it's weird that, like, we didn't hear about that beforehand? Like, don't you think it's strange that that wasn't ever reported on in the past, that, hey, by the way, there's segregated dances being held?
Well, we don't want to upset people in that side of the world. They do run this country.
What side of the world is that, Tim?
Below the Mason-Dixon line.
I guess that's true. It's just strange that that hasn't really been talked about. Yeah. I mean, that's just weird. And it makes you wonder if that's happening in other cities as well.
We have some sound.
Do we?
Here's the school principal, Chad Stone.
Color's not an issue anymore. Everybody should be able to have fun without being segregated.
Color's not an issue now. That's mighty, mighty Christian of you. In 2007.
Let's talk to a white man and see what the cracker says about this integrated prom.
It's a great deal to me. But I mean, you look like me, they should have been having it like this. But, no, I think it's a good thing that they're doing it this year together.
Wait, that's a white man?
Wait a minute. No, I'm sorry.
I do not believe that is a...
No, I got them confused.
I don't believe that
is... That was a black female student.
I was just going to say. It was Sanjaya. I do not believe that that is what Don and Mike would refer to as a nilla.
All right, here's the one we wanted. Somehow these get all messed up. Let's see here. Let's...
Nilla, please.
Color's not an issue anymore. Everybody should be able to have fun without being segregated.
Now, here's the principal.
Our parents have really supported this, and our kids are really having a great time, and that's what it's about, is making sure that our kids do have a good time here tonight.
And here's the black girl again.
It's a great deal to me. Because, I mean, you look like me, they should have been having it like this. But, no, I think it's a good thing that they're doing it this year together. So.
God, just, you know, that whole section of the country just drags the mean IQ down by about 40 points.
Let them do what they want?
You know it's true. Between them and Bob Jones University, I mean, really, think about what the average IQ in this country might be if just whole sections of it could be gotten rid of somehow. You know what I'm talking about, too. Good God almighty. Wasn't it Bob Jones that it still has or had up until last year segregated dances?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's not dances. It's Bob Jones University, and I do believe that both John McCain and George W. Bush spoke there on their campaign trail. It's Bob Jones University that was interracial dating that was on the books, and I think might still be, or they just got rid of it last year, that they did not allow interracial dating because they felt it was disruptive. Jesus. It's really just a whole sections. I'll just try to be nuked from orbit. Do we have to break?
No, well, we have Jim in 4 minutes.
So we have to stay and talk to Jim Rupert.
Yes.
Fantastic. You're listening to KCMD AM Portland, by the way. It's 503-733-2970. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Meanwhile, let's talk to Cam'ron. He's a rapper who apparently is no friend of the policeman. In an interview with 60 Minutes, Anderson Cooper, I guess he moonlights at CBS now, Cam'ron said he would never help a policeman in any way, even if he knew a serial killer was his next-door neighbor. He claimed that helping police would hurt his musical sales and violate what he calls his code of ethics.
At the type of business I'm in, it would definitely hurt my business. In the way that I was raised, I just don't do that. I was raised differently, not to tell.
Cam'ron stopped short of ruling out any and all dialogue with police, but said he could only think of a few words worth sharing with the boys in blue.
Say hello, how you feel, everything all right, period.
Thanks, Cam'ron. Oh, is he's that guy that has the weird apostrophe in the middle of his name for no reason.
Well, it's like pink with the apostrophe.
Or with the exclamation mark.
Yeah, whatever it is.
I think we had that. We had either one of those sound clips or we had a sound clip like that from him on Friday. I really do just pray that bad things happen to him. I pray that bad things requiring the assistance of the police happen to him almost immediately. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Victoria's Secret agrees that Justin Timberlake has brought sexy back.
Thank God. Thank God we finally got independent confirmation.
The lingerie company bestowed the former NSYNC singer with its sexiest male musician honor as part of its What Is Sexy list. This story is very stupid.
Honor?
I barely knew her.
The sexiest female musician title went to the former American Idol winner Carrie Underwood, while reporting boyfriend Jay-Z and Beyonce were named sexiest couple. Also getting recognized by Victoria's Secret are Grey's Anatomy star Eric Dr. McSteamy Dane.
McSteamy.
That's his name?
No, I think it's McDreamy. McSteamy is funny, though. McSteamy.
Did you get one with an egg McMuffin?
I was just going to say. I don't even want to say the first thing that came to mind when I heard McSteamy.
What would be the first thing that came to your mind?
No, I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it because I'm not going to engage in bathroom.
Well, I hope there's a warning label on the cut that it comes in.
I'm not going to work blue. I'll leave that to Rich Little.
Jessica Alba is the sexiest actress. Oscar-winning Dreamgirls star and former American Idol finalist Jennifer Hudson has the sexiest hips. Or lips.
I will say.
According to Victoria's Secret.
I don't even know what we're talking about. Who has the sexiest lips?
That would be a Jennifer Hudson.
And this is hips or lips?
Lips.
She does have, she does have...
Wait, I don't have the finals in the hip category yet.
Wait, am I thinking of, who is Jennifer Hudson? I was going to say she does have an alluring sway when she walks, but I'm not even sure.
Is she the chicken Dreamgirls?
I don't even, chicken?
I said chick.
What?
Lady.
Oh, I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Victoria's Secret list.
Stop! This whole story makes no sense.
Wait, Jennifer Hudson, isn't she the girl from Dreamgirls?
Oh, I'm thinking of Kate Hudson. All right.
That's a different dame.
This whole story is pointless. The best part is that none of us care about it.
No, but I keep reading it. There's more to it. Others who made the cut include actress Kate Hudson as sexy as mom.
Aha! Kate Hudson!
And soccer player David Beckham as sexy as dad.
All right, are we done with this?
I suppose so.
I don't understand anything about this story. Except to
nothing
say
that matters.
Except that won't stop me from commenting on it, though. Except to say that I don't find. I mean, look, maybe it's just me. I don't find Justin Timberlake to be all that attractive. I'm not saying he's an ugly man. He doesn't seem. He's not ugly. You know, it's hard to work in show business and not be, as they say, effable. That's sort of a requirement. It's hard to think of anybody in show business. In that kind of show business, anyway, who's just flat out hideous, I can't really think of. Yeah, I mean, that's what Scotty's saying. He's sort of a nerdy, average-looking guy with stubble. I'm with that. He's not an ugly man, but he's. I don't get why he is so hot. I think Justin Timberlake being hot is like Robin Williams always being called the funniest man on earth. It's just a thing that we've been told so often now.
He hasn't been the funniest man since like 1986.
No, not since he quit doing cocaine. And so it is with Justin Timberlake being the hottest guy ever. They just tell us that, and I think after a while we just, yes, Justin Timberlake, hottest guy ever. And
he just looks like a nerdy little white boy to me. I don't find anything about him appealing.
That's what I'm saying.
And most of my girlfriends think he's really hot.
Yeah, he's not ugly, but I don't find him to be. I don't find him to be all that.
They keep taking these old teen idols and shaving their heads to give them street cred. There's another one in the paper today. It was Joey Lawrence, who changed his name to Joe Lawrence, but now it's back to Joey, and they put him on stage.
They shaved his head?
Yeah, I have the picture.
You're sure he's not just dying of something?
No,
he's been bald for years.
Joey Lawrence?
Yeah, he's got this creepy, shiny Mr. Cleanhead.
They changed his name to Joe Lawrence.
Mr. Cleanhead. see here. That's going to be my porn name. Starring Rick Emerson as Mr. Cleanhead.
No, and he's had his eyebrows waxed way too much. So he has these giant, like, perfectly shaped brows and this big, shiny, bald head.
That'll be what I do. That'll be when I do a gay James Bond film. Hello, Mr. Cleanhead. We meet again.
He's right next to Donny Osmond.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he looks freaky.
Really? Oh, my God. And look at Donny Osmond.
He's on the same page as Donny Osmond.
Wait, I've got to see.
Oh, okay. We'll have to come back. Wait to talk to Jim Roop here. Just hold on. Let's talk to Jim, Mr. Cleanhead. Los Angeles. Hello, sir.
Bob Miller.
How are you doing, man?
Doing okay. How are you?
Did you get home safe and sound?
Yeah, well, I'm talking to you.
It's true. Johnny Cleanhead. I'm sorry. I can't get past that. I'm going to write that down. Johnny Cleanhead. Excellent.
Where did you get Johnny from?
I don't know. Johnny Cleanhead.
Harry Cleanhead.
Some woman just lost both her legs in an industrial accident in Ventura County.
Bummer.
It said the woman was driving a forklift between a loading dock and a semi in Simi Valley.
The forklift seemed like it was going to teeter off the edge of the tractor trailer. The female driver jumped for safety. Unfortunately, the forklift, when it did fall off the trailer, landed right on top of her and severed both legs.
I thought you were going to say she jumped and landed in some sort of a shredding machine. That would have been worse, I guess. Well, I suppose it all ends badly. I don't suppose there's any good end to this story.
No.
This whole program has just gone all wacky in just the last 30 seconds or so. All right. McSteamy does sound like sort of like a Scottish bathhouse of some kind, though. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I don't even know what we presumably booked you for, but it was really just a lie. It was a lie just to kind of get you on the air to find out how your flight was and to thank you again for you know, I got a lot of people who were not only big fans of yours at the listener party on Thursday, but who thought you did a stellar job on the air with us Friday, and I have to agree, my friend.
Oh, well, that's very kind. Thank you.
Now, is there some sort of an internal CNN a blog or some sort of a, you guys have like some message board or something that everybody...
Yeah, I was telling Tyler about the listener party and how unprepared I was for how huge it was. And he said, well, you got to send that to Jerry for the blog. I said, what blog? We have a blog? He said...
Plugged in as always.
Don't you read it?
Yeah.
No, I try to stay away from you guys as much as possible.
Totally. You do seem like you're sort of operating your own sphere out there. Like there's the rest of the world. You know what you are? In the movie, you're the unshaven cop with the drinking problem who plays fast and loose with the rules, has to get kicked off the case by the lieutenant before he can bring in the man.
Yeah, that's me.
And there's that scene where, like, you know, where you've been caught roughing up a suspect and the lieutenant slams down, asks for your badge and a gun and says, Roop! You know, and then they like, you know, you're on suspension. And then you go out and you find a guy on your own and beat him to a pulp.
That's right.
In any event. So, yeah, because Lisa had mentioned that to us this morning.
You know what I can do? And Scotty asked me, how do we have access to that? And I said, I don't even know how to get access to it. But what I can do is I can send you what I wrote to Jerry.
I was going
to
say, you don't want to give Scotty access to anything at CNN. You don't want to do that. You want to make an enemy of everybody at CNN. Just unleash Scotty on them in any way. That's going to work out badly for everybody. So, in any event. So
I didn't get home till very late, though. I mean, I had a couple of flight delays. And it's amazing that there are flight delays between Portland and Los Angeles. But, yeah, there were... I had two flight delays of an hour each.
Well, I got to tell you, I got a whole bunch of videos that have already come in. A lot of that's up on YouTube. We got a bunch of, I mean, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photographs that are going to have to be sorted through. So as soon as that is done, as soon as that's all sort of, you know, just categorized and whatever, put into some sort of cohesive online, the blog or whatever, I'll send a link to you so you can sort of peruse all of that and fill in any, you know, gaps that may exist in your in your memory.
Oh, well, there are plenty of gaps.
I thought there might be sections for you from Thursday that were just sort of gray and vague to you.
I'm wondering sometimes, did that happen or am I thinking that?
All I remember is this. Let me just tell you this. And I think Susan Reynolds from CBS Radio Marketing would agree. The one enduring image, there's two enduring images I have of you from Thursday. Is that one is you dropping and doing like 1,000 push-ups after I was barely able to do 10. And then
And I know we mentioned this, but I wish I had, I would give anything to have a photograph of this. When Susan and I were standing at the staircase, at the bottom of which was the green room, so we're sort of backstage at the top of the staircase, we look down at the bottom of the staircase, right outside the little private green room area, and we just see you teetering drunkenly, and at the bottom of the staircase was this huge, and I mean about 11 inches around, this huge piece of, like, faux bamboo. It was like a huge, you know, it's like a bamboo shoot, but it was massive. It was like the size of a sewer pipe.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 feet long, and it was you standing there, leaning back at the waist, sort of swaying back and forth, and, like, hooting through it as though it was a giant whistle.
So that really did happen.
So I look at the bottom, and you're going, And then giggling insanely. And then
was there anybody there? Were they doing that from my own amusement?
Was anybody there? And then you walked off and sort of bumped into the door frame, and then that was the last we saw of you. That was it.
Well, there you are.
So
success.
Sadly there is no photographic record of that, but we're
gonna... I had a blast though.
It really was fantastic. So
now I feel bad for the rest of the country or the large portion of unfortunate people who don't have access to you like that.
Well,
but they do online, correct?
It is. I was going to say, that worked out badly the last time we did it, but if they want to hear the show, we do podcast it. It's at 970.am. That's where people can go.
Well, I got to get the word out somehow about that.
You pass it along to whoever it is you pass things to, my friend.
I promise to you that I will.
God bless you, sir. All right, I could pretend that I want to talk about this like our gas prices are up by 4 cents.
Yeah, but,
I don't really care.
No, walk.
Yeah, that's
take a bus.
That's it. Stagger drunkenly down the street.
Go drunken bike riding.
We'll talk to you later when there's actual news happening somewhere.
All right,
my friend. Enjoy your day.
Thank you very much.
CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. What time is it? 1:15? Well, we should just finish out this segment since we're so behind news-wise. Let's finish out this segment here with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We got like hundreds of news stories. I mean, looking at the public, we got more news than we could possibly shake an entire stick factory at. So we'll do that, we'll break, and we'll kind of reset things at the bottom of the hour. Here's Tim Riley at the... Johnny Clean, the Ministry of Truth.
He ran over a dead deer. A Salem man suffering non-life-threatening injuries this morning after he was thrown from his motorcycle after running over a dead deer on I-5. 36-year-old Robert Evans was riding a 1997 Suzuki on I-5 near the Brooks Interchange around 7 this morning. Then he hit a dead deer lying in the middle of the road at a speed of 70 miles an hour. Apparently, he didn't see the dead deer in time. He was knocked over the handlebars and flew into the highway. He was transported to Salem Hospital. No information on his injuries or condition, but the deer is still dead.
I would like to thank Bruce Agler, by the way, who captured and has just sent to me now a picture of the test pattern with the Indian on it. Which I have not seen for the longest time.
Stations don't sign off anymore.
They don't. They don't. And they should. They should. F them. That sounded really angry. That was like disproportionately snarky just now. Stations don't sign off, and they ought to. Do you remember when stations used to sign up for the national anthem?
Yes.
That's a thing that stopped happening, too.
Or the poem High Flight.
Or just pictures of, or just, they would play the national anthem, and it was just like weird stock footage of the Blue Angels, and then like, I don't know, and then like bumblebees in a field of clover, and then like a mountain spring, and then a picture of, like a picture of the Vietnam Wall, and then a dandelion, and then they would just, and then there would just be snow for 8 hours. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, a stolen pickup truck crashed into a power pole this morning, knocking out more than 10,000 PGE customers. It hit a power pole in the Gladstone area around 6:30. And several thousand are still without power in the Gladstone area. Where are you going to go anywhere? Neighbors said they heard the crash. It sounded like an explosion. It was loud, like a transformer or something. We weren't sure if it was a transformer or not, but it was scary, even by Gladstone saying.
Where was this at?
Gladstone.
Gladstone and what?
Gladstone and Gladstone. I don't know. How many power poles are there in Gladstone?
Is that like Gladstone Street?
Gladstone, the town.
Where is that?
It's the Gladstone area.
And we're back to the beginning. Oh, and Clack. Oh, well, screw that. I don't care about that.
All right, throw this away.
I'm like 3 blocks away from a Gladstone door. I thought this might have happened somewhere that I might care about.
No.
If it was just in Clackamas, then it doesn't really... Doesn't really matter. Okay.
They could be over at Mall 205.
So, oh man, somebody sent me.
Can I just tell you?
Somebody sent me the greatest faux billboard from Mall 205. And it was a merging of some Mall 205 artwork with some quotes from that air check of Sarah, where she's like, it's not the same old Mall 205. Oh no. With the ball gag photo. All okay. Picked into one fantastic graphic. And the guy's like a graphic designer, so it looks flawless. It's in its high resolution, too. It really is genius. All right. So here's we're getting behind. So here's what we can do. We can break.
Oh, I can play the Hillary song, but where she talks in the Southern accent again in New York, of all places.
Really?
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yes.
When I walk into the Oval Office in January 2009, I'm afraid I'm going to lift up the rug and I'm going to see so much stuff under there.
Not as bad as the last one, though.
You know, what is it about us always having to clean up after people? I ask you to join me on this journey. You know, I'm proud to be a woman running for president. When I walk into the Oval Office in January 2009, I'm afraid I'm going to lift up the rug and I'm going to see so much stuff under there. This is going to be cleaning up the government, clearing out the deadwood and the political cronies. The abuses that have gone on in the last 6 years, I don't think we know the half of it yet.
See, I think somebody told her to ratchet it back, because that's not her normal speaking voice, but it's not as bad as that. That I come too far.
No, it totally sounds like that. I don't feel in no way as tired. It sounds exactly like that.
I mean, you think so? It sounds like she's trying to strike a middle ground. It still is not her normal speak. It's not her Illinois voice. I'm looking at this. This is in the New York Times. So this is this picture of Joey Lawrence. Oh, I guess, okay, this is because he's joining the cast of Chicago. I'm unclear about who he's playing. Is he playing the Billy Madison character or whatever that is? The Richard Gere role? Anyway, so he shaved his head. It doesn't even look like him.
That's always what they do with these old teen idols. They shave their heads to give them street cred.
He's the new tougher Joe. Except he's gone back to Joey. He's now Joey Lawrence again.
I guess Joe Lawrence
didn't work very well. He didn't shave his head. He waxed his head.
He waxed his head.
There's a difference. Like, that is just, like, hairless.
Waxed his head sounds like some sort of horrific injury. Fell off the car and totally waxed his head. He's gone back to being Joey Lawrence. I guess that's like when MC Hammer tried to just be Hammer for a while and didn't really work out. So he's back to... This looks terrible. He looks like... I mean, he looks like the poorest man's Billy Zane, is what he looks like in this. And then right here is right next to this ad for where is this? The nightclub, Feinstein's, the nightclub of New York. I don't understand what this nightclub does, because here's the three acts that are listed. Donny Osmond, who is unbelievably fat in this, by the way.
That is too bad.
Seriously. Unbelievably fat.
I mean, that's no way for Marie's brother to be looking.
Unbelievably fake hair. He looks like the guy who used to sing for that band Grim Reaper. He looks terrible. He looks like Jack Osborne. That's what he looks like. When did Donny Osmond become so fat? And this is a newspaper ad. Why didn't they Photoshop that out? Can he not afford to pay an intern to slender him up a little bit? At least stretch the photo? So there's Donny Osmond. The other two acts are Mary Wilson from The Supremes and Peter Gallagher. What is it that you suppose Peter Gallagher does?
Maybe I have to go to Vegas to find out.
Maybe. I don't know. So there you go. So Donny Osmond. And Joey Lawrence is back to being Joey Lawrence. I guess we should break. Let's break. We'll come back. Well, we will revisit the Ministry of Truth. We will continue our hunt for the worst story ever. We'll have the top five. We'll play you this terrible Portland marketing thing. Later on, we have Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Here's Rob Halford. Emerson Show at 503-733-2970. I'm going to read this real briefly, and then we're going to pretend we never heard this story. This is from StarPulse.com. The former stars of 1980s action series The A-Team will reunite for a reality TV program.
in which they attempt to contact their deceased co-star, George Peppard. I wish I was dead. That's not him saying that, that's me, Rick Emerson, right here saying I wish I was dead. Kill me, I want to be dead. Actors Dirk Benedict, Mr. T, and Dwight Schultz. Boy, when's the last time anybody heard from any of those guys who wasn't Mr. T? In order of obscurity, they go Mr. T, Dirk Benedict, who at least gets name-checked every now and again, and Dwight Schultz. Will appear on a special edition of British paranormal TV show Most Haunted later this year when they will try to communicate with their old friend who passed away from pneumonia in 1984. Good God Almighty. Peppard portrayed Colonel John Hannibal Smith in the popular 1980s American TV show. All right. There you go. Didn't George Peppard, wasn't he married to somebody famous at one point?
More than likely, back in the heyday.
Because he was one of those guys who was married like 100 different times. Mm-hmm. All right, here's what's coming up. We'll do the top five later on. Peter Carlin will be joining us, talking about The Sopranos last night. Before we do anything else, we'll go to the Ministry of Truth here in just a second. But before we do any of that, let's just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our intrepid PA, newly clean shaven, by the way.
Very clean shaven.
Our good friend Scotty J joining us now this evening. Hello, Scotty.
Good afternoon.
Why'd you shave your face?
Because I felt dirty after that Rick Emerson party.
All right.
I'm
going to quit asking you things. I think that's going to be a new rule on the show. We're just not going to ask you questions anymore.
No, I just felt like a new look.
All right. How do you feel today?
I feel way rested, 10 times better than ever.
All right. No, that seems legitimate. It does seem genuine. It seems like you probably had a rested weekend. And you made it through Thursday and nobody pelted you with rotten fruit or garbage.
I was lucky.
Fantastic. All right. So that you have, we had some listener, I don't know, but you had some listener drop off.
A picture?
Well, it was a package. Or it was a bunch of stuff.
Right. Now, I gave the two little envelopes, including yours, to, oh, no, I can't think of her name.
Why did you give my envelope to somebody who's not me?
Because, there are discs with some photos, and...
Okay, listener, drop off.
Is she doing it now?
I would like to screen those before they go up, by the way.
Yeah. Right.
Seriously. Is it too late? Great, thanks.
No, we can...
Every party... Let me just say this. Every single party we have... In fact, I think it's party... What was the one at Billy Reed's? Party 6, White Trash Barbecue. If you go through, there's a whole bunch of them, like that Nine Inch Nails video. There's a whole bunch of them. You look at them, it says, image removed. It's because we had some chick... who spent the entire party waving her breasts around and making out with other girls, and then sent me some bitchy email about threatening to sue me if I didn't take them off my website or whatever. And so rather than sit and write a long tedious email back that says, "Look, maybe next time you shouldn't be making out with another chick in front of a goddamn camera," we went ahead and took him down just to prevent any sort of whatever. But every single, and we have a friend of ours who I will not identify. In fact, two different friends of ours who have after the party sent us kind of panic emails or text messages or phone calls. You've got to take down that photograph. Seriously. My old lady, she'll kill me. Best to screen those photos before we put them up, Scotty.
Well, I just wanted to get the, you know, the jump start. I wanted to help you out.
Well, thanks. Thanks for helping. But what's in the envelope? You got a big...
I do. I have another picture. Maybe this is one of those, I will sue you if you print this.
We can only hope.
I thought it looked pretty
good. That's a huge photo. That's like... Oh, hello.
What is
there's
that?
Going to be a lot of people jealous because I know.
Okay, this is a photograph that is about, this is, I would, this photograph is about 17 by 11. This is a huge picture.
Yes, it is.
All right. I will now turn this around so Tim and Sarah can see this.
Oh, my God.
Scotty.
I remember her. She was the bartender.
This is the barmaid over on the streetmost side of the, you know what I'm talking about? Not the bar that was the island in the middle of the club, but the over by the video poker. There's that poker. There's that.
Thanks for that. Now, Raul has caught on to that and will not stop saying it.
Answer? Yeah. There was this barmaid
that
who was
nicely over your mantle, Scotty, at home.
Yes,
there
was nice frame that.
There was a very well endowed barmaid there, and you guys, and probably a lot of you women, know who I'm talking about. There was a very busty barmaid who was working at Barracuda that night, in a very very low cut. And this, you know what this is? This is a frock she's wearing. It's not a shirt. It's not a blouse. It's a frock. a very, very large-bosomed woman wearing this very low-cut, and it's a huge picture. Are you going to let Mrs. J see this?
Sure, I'm going to frame that.
This is you can say that she was simply a bit taller than you, Scotty.
Yes,
seriously.
Exactly.
It's a huge photograph of Scotty's head resting on this woman's bosoms as though they were a pillow.
Well, it was wall-to-wall people, and it was difficult getting her out.
In there.
I can't convey how ridiculous and great this photo is. It literally is you resting your head on her breasts as though they are a Craftmatic. I mean, there's no way around that. And then she's,
That's pretty naughty, Scotty.
Well, you've got part of that.
And she's got this great look on her face, and the look on her face is, men are stupid. That's the look.
It needs to be posted on the alumni billboard at Mount Hood Community College.
That does.
And Scotty has this, like, drunk, lecherous guy.
Totally.
Look on his face.
I'm Scotty J, and I'm effing her tonight. That's
it
what this
cost me $50,000 to get an
effing. Yeah, that's a $50,000 photo there.
You really should take this back, and when you tell the students about why they should get the radio.
Stand up in front of the room. This is why.
Stand up with a pointer.
Pointer? This really is just a shameless photograph.
All right. I have no shame.
No, you don't. All right, there you go, Scotty. So, thank you.
Is there anything else in the big envelope?
Is it? Yeah, there are photographs of anybody else?
But
oh, I see. So we all get tiny photographs, but the one of you...
We get photographs that we don't even get to see and give to somebody else.
It's totally jamming your face. And how come all the stories and photographs of you from that night involve you and then some woman's bosoms?
I don't know. It's kind of like it's... I don't know. Maybe it's like that 1 year when they were doing the... The make-out thing with girls, this year it was kind of a bosom buddies thing. I don't know.
Okay, thanks. That answer explained nothing. Thank you, Scotty.
All right. Well, by your magnetic personality.
Yeah. Did you give her money during the night?
Maybe.
It looks like you're trying to see if I went to the right place.
Yes, seriously. I pay for some upkeep on those babies.
Yeah, this photo here. Act like you like this. Act like this is a good photo.
Seriously. I mean, I can only imagine how much money that woman made in tips over the course of a night.
A bundle.
Yeah. I mean, really. And it's not just that she had big cakes. I mean, it's just that she did have a sort of pleasing personality as well. Because a lot of times women who dress that way as part of their business and barmaids especially. They all kind of, sometimes they put off like a sort of almost like a bitchy vibe. It's like, I'm dressed this way, now don't look at me.
Yeah, but she was very service oriented.
Yeah. She wasn't like that at all.
I bet she was. she did not put off that vibe at all. It put off these are here for you to look at. Please tip well. All right. By the way, and we're going to do this every single day, Scotty, until it pans out one way or the other. How is the Alice Cooper interview?
Well, unfortunately, that's not going to be much of a bit for you then, because it's done. It's happening.
It is happening.
It
now,
is happening.
Do you have a confirmation email?
Yes, I do.
And what does the confirmation email say? Does it say
I will get one more confirmation.
You don't want to be a pest about it, but have they said, great, we'll have Alice call you at...
He said, we prefer to call your hotline a few minutes before, but I will be sending you an emergency number a little later today. And I responded back, good then, we'll talk to you Friday the 4th at 2:20. Now I'm waiting for the final response of him saying, okay, sounds great.
Okay, yeah, but
that's a confirmation.
You feel about 98% confident that the Alice Cooper interview is going
to
happen?
I'm close to 90%.
You realize if that doesn't happen somehow, I will find a way to blame you for it, and then I will have you killed. Just so you know. All right. Okay.
All right.
And now if it comes together, you will be rewarded
then
in alcohol.
Then things will be good, and I'll be alive.
You'll be rewarded in liquor.
if not, you'll be as much trouble as a Saturday morning show.
Oh, don't even get me started. Did you see the photographs of what the studio looked like? I'll show you here in a few. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a visit to your personal prophet, president, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
An Albany woman with a son in Iraq is raising funds to buy his 82nd Airborne unit, a machine that makes Slurpees. Sharon Curry says her son, Private First Class Preston Curry, asked for a Slurpee machine that can make enough drinks to serve about 100 students at a time. The 21-year-old told his mom the machine would be a great morale booster. So because of red tape involved in raising the funds and sending a Slurpee machine overseas, head to the troops, a nonpartisan, nonpolitical group. It has been formed to support the deployed troops. And donations can be in Albany.
And this is just in
I'm all for it, but it really does sound like a Doyle Redland story. I mean, this really does sound like it's straight from the Onion Radio News Desk. All right.
Well, we do better than that here.
Fantastic.
Let's see, we have some other things here. One moment, please. Oh, it looks like the found not guilty. This is from South Carolina.
A jury has found a South Carolina man not guilty for the highly publicized case involving an underground sex dungeon. Kenneth Hinton was found not guilty in the kidnapping and rape of two 17-year-old girls who claimed they were taken at gunpoint from their trailers and were threatened with murder unless they complied. They found out that the girls, who both 17, the sex was consensual, according to this jury. And even though they had DNA to convict him.
Yeah.
So in South Carolina, the rules are a little bit different.
I think we're going to have some sort of signal at the beginning of stories about whether in the course of the story someone is raped or killed. Because then I'll know whether I can start making jokes about it.
Don't joke about this.
No, I'm not. See, that was... I'm not going to do that.
By the way.
Okay. Let's have a gore watch, shall we? Here's your gore watch. No.
Jeez, sorry, my hand got stuck in my headphones.
Best day ever. Here's your gore watch from Monday.
So we don't know if this is true or not. This is from Britain's Daily Telegraph, which is a conservative newspaper. Staff members who worked on Al Gore's unsuccessful presidential bid in 2000 have been approached to work in a possible campaign in 2008. I was asked whether I would be available toward the end of the year if I needed. One of Gore's former campaign workers reportedly told the newspaper they know he has not ruled out running, and if he decides to jump in, we'll have to move very fast. Gore has repeatedly said in the past he has no plans and no intention of running for president again. But in politics, that particular language is, it's kind of meaningless. It means he doesn't fully rule out anything.
Well, Richard Nixon said the same thing in, 62, I think? I think it was, was it 62? And again, you won't have Richard Nixon to...
I think that was when he lost for the Senate or gubernatorial race in California.
He lost the gubernatorial race in California, and he did that, and now after having made fun of Rich Little, I will show that I cannot do a Richard Nixon at all. But he said, you won't have Richard Nixon to kick around anymore. And, that wasn't so bad just now.
No.
They had to call me to be at the White House press correspondence today.
Maybe next year.
All right. So there you go. So there's Al Gore, which of course he is. They're all doing this whole sort of, the whole thing is about pretending. It's like pretending you don't like a girl, because if you pretend that you like her too much, if you let her know that you like her, that she's not going to be interested. It's all about pretending to be low key about the whole thing and blah, 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 blah. So, all right. I just have this. Rick, about that barmaid with whom Scotty had his photo taken. The view of the main bar from the VIP cabanas is great. It looked like two mutant honeydew melons serving beer to red-eyed demons. Okay. Thank you. Thanks. Thanks so much. But that whole inconvenient truth probably didn't start out as a way to get himself reintroduced to the populace as a presidential candidate, but that is what it's going to end up being. And
I don't know. We'll see.
It is good. I mean, at the very last moment, I don't think he'll pull the trigger, though. The very last moment, I think he will bow out and he'll let Hillary and Obama go in and get their lumps. But I think he will wait until the very, very last second to bail out. So I think at the end, he will not end up running. But I think he's going to wait until the very last second to announce that. All right, there you go. There's your Gore Watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson radio program. Nobody got to Mr. Robot. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll do Hunt for the Worst Story Ever here, and then we'll break later on, maybe the top of the hour, so we'll come back. We'll do a visit with the Ministry of Truth, and later on we'll have Peter Carlin and so forth. So we'll do Hunt for the Worst Story Ever in just a second. Let's see. What else do we have coming? Oh, I'm going to play this terrible song. What else do we have? Well, other stuff. I do want to say, here's a thing, by the way, that I'm not going to be reading. It was tempting to use this for one of the worst stories ever, but I'm not going to. It was a story from, and this, by the way, was just, oh, by the way, if you hear the station, apparently I've just been handed this. And usually when they say I've just been handed this, that's a colloquialism for, like, something has come across the wire. I literally have just been handed this. That if you hear the station, quote, popping on and off.
It's because meth addicts are stealing copper from around the tower.
It's Dennis Pitzenbarger's fault. It means that Matt Peterson has poured grease on something.
Yes, totally.
That's actually us doing that. So we are we're
just for fun.
We're fixing the transmitter remote control. So if the station kind of goes, that's us doing that.
We're just messing with you.
Yeah, we're just screwing with you. They're really secret messages that only you can hear.
Sarah had made the observation the other day, because we're doing this thing with our hunt for the worst story ever, where we read two horrifying stories, and then we have the audience vote on which is the most horrifying. And we had one that was testicle-related. And Sarah made this observation that there's just no way that women can truly appreciate how horrifying that is. I am not going to read this story as part of the, you know, as part of the competition, because it really doesn't... It really is not... It's not that terrible. But I'm just going to read it. This is sort of a bonus.
Is it about testicles?
No, it's not, Sarah.
Oh, no.
This is sort of gimme. This is just sort of a bonus story today.
This isn't one of the worst ones.
No, this is not. This is just a bonus story. Just for you, Sarah. This is from the New York Times by Denise Grady. Doctors in New York have removed a woman's gallbladder through her vagina. A technique they hope will cause less pain and scarring than the usual operation. The technique can eliminate the need to cut through abdominal muscles. The operation was experimental, part of a study that's being done to find out whether people will fare better if abdominal surgery is performed through natural openings in the body, rather than cuts in the stomach. The surgery still requires cutting, this time cutting through the wall of the vagina, stomach, or colon. But doctors, imagine having your gallbladder taken out through your colon. But doctors say it should hurt less because those tissues are far less sensitive than abdominal muscles, really, are they? Interest in this idea heightened after doctors from India made a video in 2004 showing an appendix being taken out through a patient's mouth. The patient had abdominal scars that would have made conventional surgery difficult. Doctors say that going through a natural orifice, be it the rectum or vagina, to get into the abdomen and do an operation is being excitedly worked on by a whole lot of people. Picture a bunch of guys rubbing their hands together with glee. So, there you go. There is some dissent. Dr. Christine Wren said, the idea of puncturing your internal organs and then sewing them back up is, quote, cause for concern. Again, doctors experimenting with removing your gallbladder through your vagina.
Okay.
There you go. Well, it's because you said there was no... I didn't want you to feel left out.
Thank you.
With all the testicle-based news?
Okay, good.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for what is the worst news story in the history of all the world. We're going to read to you two news stories. At the conclusion of the second story, you will then please be voting. In fact, you can actually call now, and we'll just hold you out. We'll put the calls on hold so you can still hear. And then we will go through and we will take a little Insta poll. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can be calling now. You'll hear the stories on hold. At the conclusion of the second story, we'll take the audience's temperature and find out which story you find to be the worst. We'll start with the current champion. This comes to us from Akron, Ohio, courtesy of the Associated Press. Here, ladies and gentlemen, the reigning champion in the hunt for the worst story ever. A jury awarded $786,000 to an Ohio man who has endured years of pain and must walk bow-legged after his left testicle was crushed by a broken weight machine bar at an athletic club. Quote, I can barely walk, let alone run. There's a constant throbbing of pain. I mean, it's my testicle. That's a very uncomfortable spot to feel pain, end quote, said Jason Houston, 25, adding that sex is, quote, tenuous, following the February 2004 injury to local YWCA. Houston, who won the award on Monday, was lifting 68 kilograms onto a leg extension machine when a cable broke. That caused a center steel rod with an adjusting ball to swing 180 degrees into his groin, crushing his testicle. Houston has been receiving treatment for the pain since. A nerve pain blocker was installed, but that has not corrected it. Quote, it's a horrendous injury. Everyone who hears this story just kind of winces, Meeker said. Houston plans to marry next month. He's been forced to leave some jobs because his injury leaves him unable to walk at a normal pace. Story number one. Story number two.
The Challenger?
Yes, this is the Challenger from the Austin Post.
Oh, that's my favorite.
We love the Huffington Post, and it's sort of the Netherlandish version of the New York Post. Tony Johansson bore a daughter by cesarean section at St. Olaf's, and on Sunday, a midwife removed the outer stitches from the operation. But something went horribly wrong. In quote, or I'm sorry, open quote. When I got up, I felt my entire stomach tear.
No.
I got help from hospital staff and was put into bed. Then I saw that my intestines and the contents of my abdomen had fallen onto the floor. You know, the floor's not clean either. It's like dragging a piece of scotch tape on the floor. Imagine what your intestines would pick up on the floor. I'll just read that one again. When I got up, I felt my entire stomach tear. This is cesarean section stitches. I saw that my intestine, the contents of my abdomen, had fallen out. End quote. The thread used to sew up the cesarean had been under discussion at the hospital, and several doctors have contacted management to try to have it replaced by a stronger type of thread. Apparently, the new thread
is... How is she still alive?
I don't know.
All her insides fell out?
And then they have to wash it all. Apparently, the new thread is hard to knot, and the knots are known to come undone. Apparently, the knots, quote, tore right through the skin of her stomach. There you go. There's your challenger. The money quote here again. My intestines and the contents of my abdomen had fallen out. There you go. That's the second story. Fantastic. Let's begin the voting, shall we? Oh, you want to make people wait?
We've got a break. We're like 7 minutes
late
already.
All right, well, hang on. We'll do the voting after this, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show's hunt for the worst story ever. You stay there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. Burn the whole studio down. Oh, hello. Why, hello. The Rick Emerson radio program. Apparently, that's not a Netherlands paper. It's the paper for Norway, says Kristen Bowie. That's the
Often.
Yeah. Often, whatever. Why, Rick, surgery through the rectum? I barely knew him. All right, we'll revisit the Ministry of Truth here in just a skosh. Also, the top five. Peter Carlin coming up. We'll talk Sopranos. Let's see, what else? We have, Peter Carlin? Yes, I did. Likas at 3, Dunhamike at 7, and so forth. I got this donkey. You know, this donkey story is not even really that interesting, but people just send us anything now that has to do with donkeys, so thank you for that. Where the hell is my sounder? We are now continuing our search for It's the Worst Story in the History of All Humanity. We're now going to take your votes. I will briefly recap each story. Then we'll take your votes at 503-733-2970. First story and reigning champion. Houston, who won the award Monday, was lifting 68 kilograms on a leg extension machine when a cable broke, which caused a center steel rod with an adjusting ball to swing 180 degrees into his groin, crushing his left testicle. And the money shot from story number two. Quote, when I got up, I felt my entire stomach tear. Then I saw that my intestines and the contents of my abdomen had fallen out. There you go. Which of those stories is the worst? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let us now go to the phones, ladies and gentlemen. We'll just take these in. Scotty, you don't need to screen these. We'll take these in no particular order. Hello there, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Boy, as painful as number one sounds, I got to go with number two.
Now, just out of curiosity, what is the deciding factor for you, sir?
Just the intestines on the floor, you know, the whole sanitary thing. It's just...
Plus, I just ate lunch.
And, you know, cleaning your intestines has got to be no walk in the park either. That's got to be, I don't know if there's some sort of a power washing thing that goes on there, or some sort of a sponging off. I'm not even really sure how you would clean your innards. I don't even really know the answer to that. So.
I mean, at least the guy with the testicle still got one, so I guess that's a...
Glass half full, sir. All right, thank you.
You bet.
All right, there you go. That's one vote for story number two. 503-733-2970. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Number two, definitely. The intestine one is the most disgusting thing I have ever heard.
That surprises me, actually, that men find the intestine story to be worse.
Seriously. I mean, you know, every guy has been kicked in the nuts at one point or another. I mean, it's just, that is just god-awful, man. I mean,
fantastic. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Oh, good God Almighty. I got to go with two as well, man.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you so much. When I got up, I felt my entire stomach tear. I saw that my intestines and the content of my abdomen had fallen out. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Well, it's number two, but I still think the blood story was, I mean, worse than both of those other two.
Well, the audience thought differently, sir.
Yeah,
I agree with you with the blood story. That was
disgusting. Thank you. Yes, Sarah. We're right.
Thank you. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Oh, definitely number one. I still cringe after hearing it on Friday.
All right. Thank you, sir. That was like an OnStar kind of a thing. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
It's got to be story number two.
This really does surprise me.
It's sheer volume. You know what the length of those intestines is?
I really don't, actually. How many feet of intestines are in your stomach?
I don't know, but it's, I don't know, 28 feet, 28 yards, something.
You're making that up.
I'm totally pulling it out of my,
it out of your open stomach cavity?
Yeah, that's it.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right.
Hi, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're asking which of these stories you find to be the most horrific and off-putting. And by the way, perchance, if you happen to know how many feet of intestines are inside your stomach, we'd like to know that as well. Let's see. Where am I going here? This is... Hi, Rick Emerson. Hello?
Hey, yeah. What's up, Rick?
Hi. What's up? Which story do you find to be the worst, sir?
Story number two. It's got to be, man. It reminds me... The way you described it reminds me of that scene from Day of the Dead. I don't know if you've seen that movie where...
I have.
Yeah, where the guy leans over from the zombie leans over from the table and his guts just come right out.
Excellent.
Yeah,
I wonder when the last time they'd swept the floor was. All right.
Well, down in the that chamber in Day of the Dead, probably never. So.
Yeah, no, that's true. Thank you. All right, there you go. I will do a few. I mean, we see which way the tide is going. But hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Well, I think the guts going on the floor is just darn cool. I still think the number one is the worst one.
All right, thank you. We'll do a few more here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Number two, only because that's what I'm doing right now.
Thank you, sir. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
It's number two. My wife just had that cesarean, and they actually had problems with the second, because they do two sets of stitches.
Yeah.
And the second set, the outside stuff, wasn't healing up on it, like, for the last 2 months. So I've been living in fear of this for, like, the last 2 months until it just started healing.
You've been living in fear that you get up to get a glass of water in the middle of the night, and then it's just a low, sticking thud sound.
Well, that and watching, you know, when they do the cesarean, you know, they start cutting open and they start pulling stuff out of the inside before they can actually pull the baby out.
Well, we got to get these guts out of the way.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting there behind the counter watching all this stuff come up on the thing. You know, you don't dare look.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go through the bank one more time and then we're done. We'll just see how big of a blowout this is. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Hey, Rick, number two is the worst, without a doubt.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that, sir.
All right, buddy.
All right. Hello there, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Number one.
All right. Well, there you go. A handful of votes for number one. Thank you. We'll do two more here. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Which story do you find to be the most off-putting?
Just called back to let you know, 25 feet of intestine. 20 feet small intestine. 5 feet, large intestines.
All right, there you go. Although, really, that's a distinction that doesn't. That's a distinction that is very subtle.
Very
at that
subtle.
Point, when they're all on the floor, they're kind of. When they're in a heap at your feet, it doesn't really matter. It's all. It's all one big pile of bad, sir.
It is.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, sir. All right, 20. Thank you. 25 feet. All right. So it does look like the. It looks like the final vote here. There's really a scant. Oh, I'm sorry. I said we do one more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Best audience ever. All right, the final vote. Just 3 votes for number one. 3 votes for number one, which does surprise me. I would think testicle crushing would rank higher on our audience's scale of things they never want to hear again. All right, well, there you go. Story number two. Here is your winner. When I got up, I felt my entire stomach tear. I got help from a hospital staff, and then I saw that my intestines and the contents of my abdomen had fallen out.
Okay.
There you go. There you go. It's the worst story in the history of the world, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right, we'll do another installment of that tomorrow. That'll go up against a challenging story tomorrow. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up here in just a skosh, Peter Carlin, top five, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, he is your president. Your prophet, your seer, and your revelator, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, a robbery has been foiled after employees get the giggles. Police are looking for two would-be bandits after Postal Annex employees got the giggles and foiled an attempted armed robbery. This happened in Beaverton, of all places. And Portland police say two men wearing red bandanas walked into the Postal Annex on Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway at 9:30 in the morning and told workers to empty the register. But one of the men had a fold-up knife and was having problems opening it. The employees, thinking it was a hoax, laughed at the would-be robbers. The assistant manager played along at what she assumed was a joke. She picked up the phone and said, I'm going to call 911.
That's pretty emasculating. You're trying to rob a place and they're just laughing at you because they think it's a gag.
As soon as she said the three numbers, the two robbers were gone. So that was that. We didn't take them seriously. It was having your kid brother come in with a cowboy and Indian thing. They didn't get any money. So that's that.
There you go.
So that's the fun they have at the Postal Annex on Southwest Beaverton Hillsdale Highway.
Go by today. Don't rob it.
Meanwhile, Miss America 1944 has shut out the tires of thieves. Miss America 1944 has had a talent for shooting handguns, that is. She shot out a vehicle's tires to stop an intruder. Venus Ramsey is 82. She confronted a man on her farm in Kentucky after the dog ran into a storage building where thieves had previously made out for some old farm equipment. They came back a second time. Well, Ramsey said the man told her he would leave and said, oh, no, you won't. And I shut their tires on so they couldn't. She had to balance herself on her walker as she pulled out a snub-nosed 38 caliber handgun.
Walker.
I didn't even think twice. I just went and did it. If they even dared to come close to me, they'd be 6 feet under by now. She also flagged down a passing motorist who called 911. Apparently, a former Miss America doesn't have a telephone.
Don't screw with old people. They got nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm. So she lived in Cincinnati for several years and was instrumental in helping rejuvenate many historical buildings. She returned to Kentucky to live on a farm.
Are we really doing the history of Miss America 1944?
We are, because a lot of people have asked.
Okay.
Here's a little Britney watch for you.
Here's your Britney watch from Monday on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Think I did it again.
Now, Britney Spears is getting into shape. She tells People magazine.
Donut-shaped.
She's working out, eating right, and enjoying life, as we can all tell. Robert Baker, who owns North Hollywood's Millennium Dance Complex, with Spears has reportedly been sweating off the pounds, says she has an amazing metabolism. When she puts her mind to it, she can transform herself pretty easy. Spears has two young sons with her soon-to-be ex-husband, Kevin Federline. Producer J.R. Rodham said she's now hoping to get back into music. And they say they're working on an album.
Well, she better. If she doesn't get into shape, she's going to be Britney Spear. this is your Britney watch. What?
Britney.
Oh,
we have a second part.
Oh,
I stepped on the whole thing. God damn it. I'm
darn
sorry,
it all
Sam.
To heck.
Damn me to hell.
I know it.
Pop star Britney Spears is taking sides with her recently fired manager. In a statement to the New York Post, page 6, Jamie Spears says his daughter's anger at Larry Randolph is unwarranted, adding, she blames him and her family for what she is today with her kids and career and all. Larry's always been there for Britney. For this, we will be forever grateful to him. Jamie also said that when Randolph encouraged Britney to go to rehab, he was only doing what her mother, father, and team of professionals with over 100 years of experience combined knew needed to be done. She's out of control.
All right. I don't have another cheesy punchline to go out on. Britney Spears. She's getting into shape. Going into shape. Rehab. Hab. Oops. Hit me. Okay. All that good.
Is that rehab or rehab?
Before you go, there's something I want you to
do. Rehab. Let's do one more here, and then we'll do the top five, and then we'll do some other things and so forth.
Well, we all know not to feed the animals when visiting the zoo. Now the Antwerp Zoo is urging visitors to please stop staring at the chimpanzees. No eye contact, please. The new rules have been posted outside the chimp enclosure at the city zoo, urging visitors not to form a bond with a particular male chimp known as Cheetah. He was raised by humans but is now bonding with 7 other apes at the zoo. We inform our daily visitors and other visitors and contacts that one of the monkeys in particular is open to human contact. He was raised by humans in a family, and therefore we're trying to fix him up. We're trying to get him more social integration with the other monkeys. Cheetah's continued interaction with humans was delaying the social integration of the animal in the group. A sign posted on the glass enclosure asked the onlookers not to stare at the apes. Look away when an animal seeks to make contact with you or take a step back. The zoo is not barring visitors from looking at the chimpanzees altogether. Of course, eye contact is not forbidden. We have over 1 million visitors a year, and some of them do look at the monkeys.
Fantastic. Rick, this email says, although there's no way to really picture someone's intestines and torso contents spilling out, I picture it like a version of those fake peanut cans with the springy things inside that pop out. Except, instead of a 6-inch cloth springy thing popping out, it's 25 feet of intestine springing out for about 15 or 20 seconds. Maybe with some calliope music playing in the background. Or like that old never-ending handkerchief gag that clowns used to do. Why, he says, is it that horrific stories of torso content spilling to the ground reminds me of old clown gags? Maybe it's just me. Yes, sir, I believe it's just you. All right, Scotty J., could you please come to the, and then we'll have Tim with the hole and the counting and then whatnot.
Scotty J., this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to that squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
All right, Scotty J., we brought you to the studio now because it's time for today's top five, which you have created for the amusement of the Rick Emerson listeners.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting is the best thing to do. Happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley with a top five created by Scotty J.
These are the top five top-down songs by Scotty J. These are songs you can rush out to and not feel embarrassed when passing by.
So, Scotty, these songs to which you can listen with the top down while speeding down the highway of life?
Yes, and if people are out there looking, you don't have to, like, hide your head in shame over it.
Like you're on your way to the Olive Garden or Fred Meyer. Or
yes, right. Exactly.
Home Depot.
So these are songs that you would listen to proudly and feel no shame while doing so.
That's right.
Are these summertime only songs?
They're good weather songs.
All right, so when Scotty J. is in the J-Mobile and he's rolling down...
The J-Mobile?
Heading out to the highway looking for adventure. These are your top five songs for rocking out with the top ten.
That's correct.
All right, okay. Here's Tim Riley.
At number 6. So I take this as honorable mention since this is the top 5. Honorable mention is Def Leppard with another hit and run.
This is a decent song. It's not the best Def Leppard song. The best Def Leppard song is Let It Go.
Right. A bunch of songs off that particular album are really good, and it was hard to make a decision, but the nice part about this is you could just totally crank this particular song up.
You could crank it up, really? Could you crank it up on a block party weekend?
You could, actually.
Jesus. I'm kind of surprised, actually. I'm impressed. Not that this is that great of a song, but I'm just impressed that you didn't go with something really obvious. I'm glad you didn't pick, like, you know, Pour Some Sugar on Me or some crap.
No, and I tried to do that at the listener party, too, where I played songs that weren't necessarily radio songs, but, you know.
Tried to do some album cuts?
Yeah.
Some deep cuts, as they say? I can totally picture you roaring down the highway.
Now, right about there, right where you said that, that's where you just... Three more notches to 11. You know, bugs in your teeth.
And the guy with the big bosoms with the hair flapping in the
breeze. Oh, I can see it now.
Some bleach blonde hussy sitting next to you. Some skis and white stretch pants. And then it's back to reality. Because a gallon of milk and some eggs.
And it's really just your dog sitting there. Suddenly, licking his chops.
Suddenly Scotty's back in a minivan with three screeching children, wishing he was dead.
That sounds like a commercial.
All right, these are the top five songs Scotty J rocks out to with the top down. At number five, it's Queensryche with I Don't Believe It.
Really?
Okay, this really does surprise me.
Right, because...
I love this song, but I would never think of this as a top-down summertime feel-good anthem.
Yeah. Do you feel it?
This is a song about a guy who has just... This is, I believe, a song about a guy who has just killed his girlfriend. And who is a heroin addict and a political assassin.
So he hates Democrats?
Don't try to be funny.
Okay.
Seriously, this is a song about a junky political assassin who has just strangled to death his girlfriend, who is a former nun and prostitute.
That sounds like a sunny day.
Seriously, what is wrong with you?
That Clyde Lewis would request a friend with you.
Exactly. It's another sunny day in Ground Zero Land.
Yeah.
Under the black rainbow.
I'm probably like most people. I'm not sitting there and I may even sing along with it, not knowing what I'm singing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Not really knowing what the song's about.
And the song is called I Don't Believe in Love. I never have. Wait for it right here. Pick me up. The pain that you feel. Well done, Scotty. Everybody feels real cheery now.
Well, the actual song.
Let's go do a smack and kill horse.
The beat of it, though, it's like moving forward. Move, 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 move. It's like, yeah, you can just see your arm being the farmer's tan on the left-hand side as you go through the McDonald's drive-thru.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I'm a huge Operation Mindcrime fan, but... Come on now. At number four, the Pink Floyds and Run Like Hell.
This song isn't embarrassing.
No, it's not embarrassing at all. And this is a pretty great song. This song was very nearly the opening theme to the Rick Emerson Show.
I remember you saying that.
We ought to do that someday. Top five songs that were almost the opening theme to this show. I mean, I'll give one of them away. This was very, very nearly the opening theme to the Dream Theater.
Now, depending on what kind of car you have and what kind of sound system you have, and who's ever standing on the sidewalk at that point when you're either stopped at a stoplight or driving by them,
no.
You might even get the thumbs up on this one. And the finger. The index finger. And the wink.
So who are you going to try to use to woo the barmaid?
That's how I got my picture taken.
Uh-huh.
Index finger and a wink.
You know, the only reason this song is not the opening theme to the Rick Emerson Show is because I tried forever on, wasn't Pro Tools at that time. It was a program called Session 8. It was like Pro Tools. I couldn't quite get an edit together. I couldn't quite get an edited loop that sounded right.
With no singing?
Instrumental loop. I couldn't make the instrumental looping work properly, and so Dream Theater ended up being a little easier to do. I love that Dream Theater song, and I would never change it now. But if this had been easy to loop, I would have used this as the opening theme. Couldn't do it. Might not be able to do it now. I've gotten better, but at the time, I couldn't do it.
It would seem too weird if this was your...
Yeah.
It doesn't fit.
It's all for that opening where he's doing the pick scraping. He's doing that whole thing. Here's Tim Riley.
At number three is...
Your microphone is off.
At number three, it's Tantric with Breakdown.
Everybody take a drink.
What?
Oh, come on. You were doing so well, Scott.
What is this?
crap.
That's just the thing. Number one, I don't want to just have nothing but old music. Got to mix in a little bit of new stuff. And this guitar,
new one here too.
Oh, this sounds just like it, you know, obviously. But
wait, let's listen to this.
Oh, this is awful. What is it?
This is terrible. This is crap. It's Tantric.
Crap. Now, listen to that guitar. Again, it's all about the sound system and, you know, as you're traveling.
You have a booming system.
It's all Bose.
This is awful.
It's not the greatest song on the earth, but it's got a good moving sunny day.
Pink Floyd. You should be killed.
That was too cliche to put Pink Floyd in further up.
Yeah, no, that's whatever. All right, here's Tim Riley.
And number two, it's David Lee Roth, Just Like Paradise.
I guess I can see that. I mean, I love David Lee Roth. This is a really cheesy song, but I guess for the purposes of this list, if it's summertime top-down songs, I can see this.
Yeah, I can see myself in a convertible in California with palm trees.
Actually,
this thing cranks.
Very little trouble.
A gym roof on the right.
No. But in reality, you're in the Big Lots parking lot in Lola trying to take a right-hand
and
turn.
The trees are plastic.
Well, yeah, you're parked at the G.I. Joe's. Just you and Johnny Cleanhead in the passenger seat.
Actually, as
heading
this song
off to
gets,
solve another crime.
As this song gets, you know, towards the middle and everything, it's really got a good, you know, I feel
it's got
great.
A great strong summertime hook. I'll grant you that.
I'm glad I'm not stuck in the office sound, you know. I don't know.
It does have a big, shiny 1980s hook. I'll give you that. It's a big, sparkling chorus. Now, we got to, well, I'll let it ride to the hook here.
See, solo, he wasn't that bad.
All right,
he
had a couple of hits. Hold on, here's the hook. It sounds so dated now, but it wasn't, you know.
It's happy.
You know, he's Diamond Dave. What are you going to do? He's David Lee Roth, and I'm not. All right, these are Scotty J's top five top-down summertime songs.
And at number one, Bon Jovi with Keeping the Faith.
I really am surprised by this.
I'm telling you, the chicks dig it. I've been to about 3 Bon Jovi concerts here in Portland. The place is packed constantly, and it's more chicks than there are men there. So you've got to have a chick song in there if you're, you know, driving down the road.
It's not that I'm opposed to Bon Jovi being on here. I'm just surprised that this is your... I'm surprised that this is your Bon Jovi song.
All the rest of them are like, you know, everyday radio hits. This one's a driving by yourself with a top down song that
this
has a killer beat to it.
This is a great album. Keep the Faith is an underrated album. It came out in the aftermath of Kurt Cobain and grunge. So it only debuted at number 3, not at number 1, which everybody was surprised by. This is not a bad album, though. This has got If I Was Your Mother. It's got I'll Sleep When I'm Dead. It's got Blame It on the Love of Rock and Roll.
Now, if you've not seen them in concert, I definitely...
I have. I, Sarah, and I were sitting next to each other.
We sure did.
When was this the last time they were in town?
This is on the Crush tour.
It's like 3 years ago.
When they were here with the Goo Goo Dolls. Yeah, Sarah and I had... we were at like 5th row, 6th row.
Yeah, we were really close.
They
played the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be... I was not at that particular
it
one.
It was the, It's My Life, that tour. This is not a bad song. I myself am more of a Bad Medicine fan. That to me is the definitive John Bon Jovi song.
Right, and once again, that's older.
Yeah,
the whole top five would have been really old, so I don't know.
Good thing that Tantric was in there.
The guitar sounded great in that Tantric.
Okay. There you go. Scotty J's top five top-down summertime anthems, kids.
Thank
it's
you.
503-733-2970. Peter Carlin around the corner. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Like is coming up about 18 minutes from now. Don and Mike at 7, etc. So on and so forth. Look, we will not be speaking to Peter Carlin. We've had to bump him as this section. So much to do, so little time. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pay a final visit to your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Kim Riley.
Kim Basinger has hired a bodyguard to protect her daughter, also known as the Thoughtless Little Pig. The star has arranged a 24-hour guard to tell her to keep away from that cell phone. Spider-Man is in the news. Man, did that go over budget? So, significantly. Apparently, this fellow named Masters from this magazine, although I can't see it because my screen just went down. Fantastic. Says the price of it went up because of director Sam Raimi.
But he really wants to shoot it a certain way. He has a lot of creative control. You know, when he makes that deal to go back and make the third Spider-Man, he gets to have his way a lot.
$350 million. As a matter of fact, by the time everything's done, it's $500 million, the most expensive movie ever made.
Boy, does it seem like we have the most expensive movie ever made about every 6 months now?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Nobody goes to see them anyway.
No, and about two-thirds of the time, it's crap. So, hey, Raimi ends with an I, which reminds me of this complete non sequitur. I believe that there ought to be a hockey-shaped pasta for children called Zamboni.
That sounds wonderful. Let's make one.
Hello.
There might not be a sequel to Spider-Man 3, which would be Spider-Man 4.
When you make a Spider-Man, what you're trying to do is cover other movies that don't do as well. A Spider-Man is not supposed to just make a profit. It's supposed to make a really big profit so that other movies like The Holiday, which was a Christmas movie that Sony had that lost money, you know, is covered.
Fantastic. All right.
Well, that's enough for me. But now it's time for Dennis Spitzenbarger.
All right, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of humanity. He'll be back at 4, 5, 6, and 7 o'clock tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. All right, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, AM 970 Chief Engineer Jeff McGinley. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, so I haven't posted this on the website yet. Maybe I'll put it up later.
Oh, are you thinking of the picture?
You saw the picture. All right, let's also welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Spitzenbarger. Hi, Dennis. How you doing today? Don't answer yet. So here's the thing. I came in on Saturday because I had to do some work on my phone, which required me being upstairs and working on my computer, blah, blah, blah. And because I'm an anal retentive freak, I came into the studio to sort of throw stuff away, pick up loose papers and whatever. So we've got these incredibly hot lights above the studio, these sort of track lights in here that point directly down. They're, I don't know if they're halogens, but they're incandescent. They're clearly not fluorescent. They put off a great deal of heat. And then I've got this mic boom over here, which is right in front of you.
Yes.
Now, wrapped around the mic boom and then stretching across the room, wrapped around the light bar, and then, in fact, wrapped around one of the incredibly hot lights itself, was what looked to be about 15 feet of incredibly flammable computer cable.
30, actually.
30.
30.
Discuss.
Why do I feel like I've gone on a boat ride with Anthony Soprano?
Jeff?
Well, this is easy. You screwed with my studio.
I didn't screw with anything.
No. Let me make sure that everyone knows I know what the rules are. And I don't touch equipment in here that I don't know what it does.
You could have enforced the rules. Next Saturday, there's going to be two mic stands outside in the parking lot for you.
Well, it really wouldn't detract from the listenership.
Maybe another show. Maybe it's another show. Do we hire some lady or somebody to do a second Saturday show?
Why? What lady are you talking about,
sir? Oh, there are just so many out there who are deserving of such.
Thinking of anybody in particular?
Not a fan, no, but I think you do.
Well, I did have that syndication deal that you were working on with me over at that other station, too.
Yeah. Why was there computer cable wrapped, and I'll post this picture later so people see what I'm talking about. Why was there this computer cable wrapped around this light and then down to this mic stand in front of me?
Well, I'm also curious to why there is a couple of
gentlemen. We've got the photo right here.
Now, that's not the way
that was the way
dude,
I found
that's a photo. That
is a knot around the mic boom that I came in here to take the boom
and
off.
And when I came in Saturday, I called him because that is what I saw. I walked into the studio Saturday.
Around the track light bar, and then the rest of it's just hanging off the damn can.
Why is there another engineer standing behind me with black gloves on?
He's the muscle man. Okay, we are going to take a boat ride after this.
I called Jeff Saturday night, and I sent him a text. I texted him, as the kids say, and I said, why is there, like, Ethernet cable hanging all over the microphone and the light? And he said, Jeff McGinley doesn't know anything about that. What the hell? And I called him and I said, dude, I walked into the studio. There is computer cable wrapped all over one of the microphones, over the light bar, and around one of the lights. And Jeff's response is, you know, that's flammable. It can burn down the whole station. So my question, there's nobody else who uses the studio. It's just us and you.
I can tell you this. I did not in any way touch the cable that somehow MacGyvered the studio track lighting.
All right, but you know who did.
Is there an attorney in the house?
Were you you had to have been here when this happened.
Well, I would have thought that maybe it would have been removed. I mean, I didn't exactly
so the proof would have
been. Was it up there for? What possible? Why would this have been there?
Well, this.
You're using the microphone now. It's working fine.
It's that one.
Okay, if you want to know, let me switch microphones and I'll give you a demonstration of why. This apparently, and I can turn this on here, there was a person talking on this microphone, and as you can see, it tends to do this.
It's working fine.
I sit where you sit.
There are five
where you were sitting,
in
you
studio.
Three different mics.
Boys.
You didn't have to use that mic. You could have reached for another mic.
Three of them,
right next to where, look, here. Now you can talk on mine, too.
There's five different microphones in the studio.
You've seen it. I've been stricken in the face with a microphone.
There's five. So that's Tim Riley's microphone. There's two, and then you're sitting here at my microphone. There's Sarah's, which I know Kirk uses because he's on the board. There's two other microphones not being used.
Well, one of these two was being used, though not in, just, I'm just trying to paint the entire picture. I'm not giving you an excuse.
You have five people in here?
There were spare microphones.
Do you need fingers?
Here's the thing. Hold on.
Sometimes I drink on the weekend.
Here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand is this. This is my whole thing. What I don't understand is ease of solution. Like, what? How does I could either root around behind a curtain, find a bunch of computer cable, drag it out, presumably get up on a chair, loop it around the light bar, wrap it down across the control board, or I could just move 2 feet to the goddamn left and use the other microphone. That's right there! How hard is it? How lazy can you be? Your ass can't get up off a chair. Move. I'm turning into a David Mamet play, but seriously, come on. Your ass don't move 2 feet to the next chair.
In his defense, it really wasn't Dennis's ass that had to move 2 feet.
I'm saying you in the collective sense. I'm saying this to you now. I don't understand this is our friend Mr. Peterson.
He might have been in the studio.
Omerta crap. It was May. There's only two of you in the studio.
You know, poor Tim Riley's face, when we showed him the picture of what happened to his position, again, we get the grease thing taken care of.
I took care of the grease thing. There is no eating on the weekend. Is there not?
Say, Tim, that's actually your
equipment. Can we think of something positive? Have we seen grease in the studio lately?
Who knows? I mean, we're lucky there was a studio here this week. Well, I thought Jetta could have been reduced to a smoking cinder.
Above the light bar, what do you see above in that picture? Six inches above that light bar where the flammable wire could have gone up. 35-year-old seasoned wood.
Ceiling made out of wood.
Okay, why don't I just throw, a tinderbox somewhere, here, hold on.
It's painted. It maybe has, a protective coating like an M&M.
At what point did you think that this was a good idea?
I live for the moment, Mr. Emerson, and I didn't realize that moment was going to be left to string along throughout the weekend. And though I did not advocate or even
Now, did you leave the studio before Matt did? Was Matt left in the studio?
No.
Because now Matt is not an employee of CBS.
No, he was not.
So presumably you left the studio at the same time.
Yes, we did.
So now when you left the studio, had one of you taken it down?
Well, I guess the photo obviously shows that was not done. I don't really think I need to ask you. So,
were you thinking it was going to be taken down? Were gnomes going to come in at some point and take it down after you? The gremlin was going to come in off the wing of the plane.
CBS hires gnomes?
So, who did you think was going to take it down?
I don't know. I was thinking
it was magic.
You want to know who had to drive in on Sunday afternoon and come take it down?
The same person I'm going to take to lunch tomorrow?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, just checking. Okay.
All right, this photo will be going up at rickemerson.com later today, by the way.
I want to say that I did not authorize or...
Sadly, we have to break. All right, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, if only your microphone was on. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Still live on the air, broadcasting, everybody. Thank you. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.
hottest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. You go to Sarah's MySpace page. It's myspace.com/Sarah Dillon. Great photo of you and Scotty, really, honestly. That is a fantastic photo.
Well, that was still, I think, when Scotty was on the clock and he hadn't started drinking.
He does look good there. He really does.
It's a very good picture of Scotty J.
I hate to say that. We love him. No, we do. We hate to admit that. We just saw a whole batch of photographs. Susan has sent me some from Vanished Twin, and then we had some listeners who've taken some as well. So there's a whole bunch of great photos. So we'll get those posted in the next 24 hours. Let's see, coming up tomorrow. Well, I was going to say that Dennis Fitchenbarger would join us tomorrow, but that remains to be seen, I suppose.
Oh.
God damn. Really, how dumb can you possibly get?
It wasn't Dennis. He doesn't know, because Dennis might be on the radio, but he's not a radio guy.
But
he doesn't know.
He's here in the studio. He's here watching, presumably, Matt.
Some of the people he was here with have had a lot of radio experience, and maybe they should be the ones that you should be looking at. Because Dennis doesn't know. He just comes in to do a show.
I suppose. Seriously, I just want to beat that guy with a lamp. All right.
Dennis.
Seriously, I mean, come on. You know, because he's doing that sales guy thing. Sales guys always do that. Sales guys always do. I didn't know. That's the sales guy. Every time I say, and look at it, I say this, I respect the salespeople. They're good at what they do.
You want to beat him with a lamp?
I do, and a phone book. Salespeople are great, and they're the backbone of the station in many ways, revenue-wise, certainly. But, you know, whenever a salesperson screws you somehow, whenever a salesperson shafts you or stabs you in the back, their first response is to be like, well, dude, I didn't know, man. I'm sorry. And they always know. They always know when they disregard it. All right. Well, hey, look at the time. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Jim Roop and Lisa Goddard. Also, Clyde Lewis. We'll talk to Peter Carlin later on in the week. Though. We'll do it Wednesday. We do a S.H.I.E.L.D. Wrap-up as well. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, executive. Flashback, it's because of Matt. So I'm talking about Matt again. Scotty J is the PA, and of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grind you down, and please, do try to help the retarded. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow at 11. Bye now.